Gentlemen, Stuart Clark up after the news.
Sky Sports Radio News for toyotamaterialhandling.com.au, Australia's first choice in forklifts.
Place tops 35 degrees in the coast, 43 in the west. Good morning, I'm Bo Mitchum. A woman has been shot in the stomach by police south of Sydney. Eloise Wilkinson reports.
Police were called to the Colden Street home at Picton at about 8.20 last night following reports a woman was armed with a weapon. When they arrived, a 54-year-old woman became agitated and was then shot in the abdomen during a confrontation. She was rushed to hospital in a serious but stable condition. No officers were injured during the incident. Forensic police will examine the crime scene as an independent critical incident team investigate exactly what happened. Eloise Wilkinson, Macquarie National News.
Firefighters are on standby across much of the state with temperatures set to soar. A total fire ban has been declared for the Hunter and Sydney, where the mercury will peak in the low 40s. In total, seven areas are included in the ban. Senator Jackie Lambie is now prepared to leave the Palmer United Party and become an independent. The Telegraph reports Ms. Lambie will finally step away from PUP after a standoff with leader Clive Palmer. She's accused him of standover tactics to tell her how to vote. The state's leading coal seam gas regulator is being accused of keeping a damning report into mining company Santos a secret. Elizabeth Daniels reports.
The Environmental Protection Authority gave the company several days' warning of the upcoming audit on operations at Gunnedah and Pilliga. It documented questionable safety procedures, no underground water monitoring and unlocked wells. The EPA was supposed to release the 2013 report, but didn't until the Herald took out a Freedom of Information process. A clean-up notice was finally issued in July 2014 and Santos claims it has spent $17 million upgrading sites. Elizabeth Daniels, Macquarie National News.
A teenager has been charged with negligent driving after he hit and killed an elderly cyclist on Sydney's northern beaches. The P-plater collided with a 70-year-old on Macars Creek Road at Church Point yesterday. Briefly, federal police have recruited former NRL stars Hazem El Masri and Joe Nullivau to help stop young people from being radicalised by terrorists. And the state government has released a 20-year plan which would create 50,000 new homes along Parramatta Road. Now with sport, Danielle Pogson.
Sydney FC has maintained its A-League clean sheet with a 2-1 win over Melbourne City at Amy Park. The Sky Blues held off a fast-finishing attack after Mark Yanko found the back of the net twice. Coach Graeme Arnold says it's always good for the squad to apply quick pressure.
Since I've been at the club, the first halves haven't been fantastic, but I thought tonight's first half was excellent. The fact that we went in only 1-0 up, you know, kept them in the game and kept them motivated.
The Wanderers have been held to a 1-1 draw with the Newcastle Jets in Parramatta. Paul Spargo takes a one-shot lead at 8-under into the final round of the Australian Golf Masters. Adam Wright trails the South Australian in second. Adam Scott is 4 shots off the pace, tied 8th. The defending champion has told Seven he'll be in it right till the end.
You never know, I might be within shouting distance. I remember years ago I was 1-8 back going into Sunday and I found myself in a playoff here at this event.
The Wallabies have posted back-to-back losses with a 26-23 defeat to Ireland in Dublin. Australia isn't taking today's final one day against South Africa lightly with the ICC top ranking on the line. Nathan Coulter-Nahl is expected to miss most of the summer with a serious hamstring injury. Daniel Ricciardo and Sebastian Vettel have been relegated to the back of the grid for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka have helped Switzerland to a 2-1 Davis Cup lead over France, and Australian Andrew Bogut has helped Golden State to a 13-point win over Utah in the NBA. That's sport. I'm Danielle Pogson.
This is Macquarie National News. It's 8:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot with a possible afternoon shower. A total fire ban is in place. Tops 35 degrees in the coast, 43 in the west. A shower or two tomorrow. Right now in the city, 20 degrees, humidity 88%, winds from the north at 6 kilometres an hour. 21 degrees Bankstown, 19 Campbelltown, 20 Gosford, Penrith and Richmond, 25 at Katoomba.
No need to be without your daily dose of sport. If you missed any feature interviews from the Big Sports Breakfast, you can catch up through our podcast. Go to bigsportsbreakfast.com.au and click on podcast for all the breaking sports stories.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with Garth Brooks' hot new album, Man Against Machine. That's the enemy of everything. Dolly Parton with Blue Smoke and her very best of in one collection. There's Trisha Yearwood's new album, Prize Fighter, hit after hit. And the Doobie Brothers Southbound featuring special guests. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Get into harness and help celebrate 50 years of pacing at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Gates open from 8 a.m. with full betting on the USA races. And the first local race just after 5.
Kids rides, free fairy floss, family activities and lots more at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Hi punters, James Cummings here. Home of racing.com.au, powered by the New South Wales Trainers Association, is the place to go for your carnival news. Straight from the horse trainer's mouth.
Reports from respected journalist Craig Young. Spring carnival updates, breeding news and Asian racing makes this website a must.
This carnival, check out homeofracing.com.au and stay ahead of the game.
Homeofracing.com.au.
Greyhound racing is booming with millions of dollars in prize money on offer, and you could buy your next winner at the Richmond Riches Puppy Auction on Sunday, November 30. More than 300 pups are up for sale from champion sires such as Collision, Cosmic Rumble and Magic Sprite, and all pups sold at the auction are eligible for the 2016 Richmond Riches with $140,000 up for grabs. Auction starts at 9 a.m. on Sunday, November 30. For more details, go to richmondpuppyauction.com.au.
The ultimate prize waits at the end of this. Gorge, could he roll through? He can! Cometh the moment, cometh the champion!
That's staggering! He's won the league with 90 seconds of stoppage time to play!
Oh, the ball is close! He's given him! He's given him! Bielasettle's got a hat-trick on his birthday!
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Jimmy Smith and Stuart Clark.
Well, looking forward to the next 2 hours. We've got Ian Baker Finch, 1991 British Open winner. He's on the program very shortly. In fact, it goes through the Australian Masters. We've got Paul Spargo is leading at 8 under. Michael Wright at 7 under. And then a number of players at 6 under. Of course, final round today will get our Australian Masters champion. Adam Scott is there. He is poised to strike. We'll try and get inside the Wallabies camp as well. They've had a 26-23 loss to Ireland at Aviva Stadium. Andy Pascalides will go through all the latest from the world of football. We'll also try and chat to, chat to Nikolai Topper-Stanley from the Wanderers. They had a one-all draw last night. That's the second draw for the week. But our feature interview today, and we're looking forward to this one, Stewie, is Australian wicketkeeper Brad Haddin, who we think is going to be fit for the Test match. He's playing in the Shield game, starts on Tuesday, and depending on Michael Clarke's injury, may well become Brad Haddin, the 45th Test captain of Australia, which would be quite remarkable. Good morning to you, Stuart.
Good morning, Jim. Morning, everyone. Remarkable,
yes.
Jim, it is. That's a word that you like to use.
Yes,
quite
I do.
Often. I don't know where Brad is. He's got to play a Shield game first. We hope
yep.
he's fit.
That's right.
We hope he's back playing. We don't know what's happening with Michael Clarke.
No.
Although the debacle of yesterday's Sydney grade cricket is, I consider, embarrassing. You didn't mention it there, but for those that don't know...
So go through it for the listeners.
All right.
What's happened?
Parramatta are playing Western Suburbs.
Right.
Michael plays for Western Suburbs.
Yes.
Parramatta win the toss.
Mm.
And apparently there was some sort of discussion pre-match between the Western Suburbs captain and Parramatta captain saying, well, if you win the toss, do you mind if you field... So Michael can have a bat next week. Because he can't play this week, but he can potentially play next week.
Yes.
The Parramatta captain quite rightly said, no, we'll do whatever's best for us to win the game.
Fair enough.
And if that was me captaining, it'd be, I don't want Michael Clarke. I don't want to play against Michael Clarke.
No way.
So they won the toss, sent Western Suburbs into bat.
Mm.
Western Suburbs batted for about 4 overs and declared none for 17.
Mm.
To give Michael Clarke a bat next week.
Mm.
Now, Parramatta then went in and made 120-odd, and then declared, and then Western Suburbs went back into bat, and they're now 1 for 200.
Yes.
Couple of problems. If I was Parramatta, I would have declared none for 18.
Good point. And then straight away you get your 6 first innings points,
yep.
and you get Western Suburbs back batting yep. again, and you won't have to bowl against Michael Clarke the
yep.
following week.
What does Western Suburbs owe Australian cricket? What is Parramatta owe Australian cricket? Was this a directive from Cricket Australia? And more importantly, does this not bring the game into disrepute?
Look, I got to declare an interest too. I know Jeff Cook, who's the captain at
Jeff Cook too.
Yeah, and I've spoken to him this morning, and he's feels like he's under a fair bit of duress, and understandably so. He said he's doing what he thinks is the best thing for Michael Clarke.
Well, what has that got to do with anything, though?
Well, hang on. He's a club legend that plays at Western Suburbs. So you want to get him a run for the Test match? I think that's reasonable.
So he walks out next week and nicks the first ball. Do you say, well, no, you got to bat? No, mate, not out. Just keep batting.
No, you can't do that.
Then it's not right, because if he could get out first ball,
yeah, absolutely.
So then that doesn't solve anything.
I understand that. But that's the nature of the game. That's what cricket is. Jeff Cook, they're running 20th. Parramatta's running 18th.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, well, anyway, they've said, look, from our point of view, we really want to give Michael Clarke some cricket. We'd love to give him a bat next week. It hasn't worked out from the toss point of view, and this is how we're going to manufacture it.
So we're now manufacturing games.
I don't think it hasn't happened before. There was a famous agreement between David Hooks and Jeff Lawson in the Shield game that apparently both people's now...
But it rained the game out. This is bringing the game into disrepute at the highest level. What does it mean for Sydney grade cricket? You may as well, mate, do we take the trophy away at the end of the year?
The Sheffield Shield is a feeder competition.
Oh, I agree. The game's... I don't disagree with that. But there was actually something behind that decision.
Mm.
There's nothing behind this decision other than giving Michael Clarke a bat.
And what's wrong with that from Western Suburbs' point of view?
That's unbelievable. And it just diminishes and devalues the whole of Sydney grade cricket.
13:53:53. We'll take your thoughts on that one. We've talked about crowds. There'll be a bigger crowd out of Parramatta next week than there will be at the SCG, potentially. It's a very hot day. Give us a call if you're going out there. Give us a call if you were thinking about going out there and decided against it. Why are crowds staying away from this one-day series, Stewie, excluding Canberra, which is... the crowds have been horrible, but the cricket's been fantastic. How do you explain it?
Well, I think you explain it very simply. It's Australian crowds are not used to what they're seeing. When was the last time you saw one-day cricket, potentially three 2020s, five one-days, then the Test series, then more one-days, then the World Cup? There's a lot of cricket this summer. It's very expensive to go to the cricket.
True. $85 a ticket
or something like that.
At the Gabba.
Something, whatever it may be, it's expensive. There's a lot more cricket to come. You didn't throw the Big Bash in there, Cricket Australia want people to go to.
Mm.
So, look, for me, I wouldn't go.
Just saturation,
you reckon?
It's just
too much.
Right.
There's just too much cricket. And the fact is, and Cricket Australia can deny this to the blue in the face, the interest in one-day cricket is diminishing.
But
here's the kicker to it. From a crowd point of view.
Here's the kicker to it. The TV numbers have been spectacular.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to remember, it goes all day.
Yes.
So it's not your average audience is a million people. I think you'll find it's a million people that touches across 7.5 to 8 hours.
No, it's the session. So they divide it up into two sessions. There's the afternoon session and the evening session. And the evening session, for example, for Friday night was 958,000 across
because
five cities.
Nothing else on. I
think it was the second highest rated program.
But a Big Bash game would probably draw the same.
Yeah, very similar numbers.
Cricket Australia can die, but the interest is waning in one-day cricket.
Mm.
Whether we like it or not, and cricket has cannibalised its own product by creating the 2020 competition in the Big Bash League.
And which has been really successful for
Correct.
Them. The other thing about it is, too, on the back of that, you've got a World Cup coming up here at the end of January.
So, without doubt.
That is a lot of cricket. We want to talk stadiums as well, but there's lots to get to.
Oh, no, not stadiums.
Sorry. Stadia.
Can you just let the people know when we're going to talk stadiums? Because
go and make a cup of tea.
Yeah, come back.
13:53:53, the open line number. We've got the Australian Masters that's on, right now down at the Metropolitan Golf Club. And very shortly, we're going to have the privilege of speaking to Ian Baker Finch.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
1991, British Open champion, Masters winner, now worldwide commentator. It's a privilege to have him on the show. Good morning, Ian Baker Finch.
Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
Yes, very good, Ian. Now, Paul Spargo, he sits right at the top. He's not a name synonymous with Australian golf. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he certainly fought back well yesterday. He started with a shocker second shot on the first hole. And we were all thinking, oh, no, and this win today, it's going to be a long one for him. But he fought back well. He had four birdies in a short stretch there at the start of the back nine. And he hung in really, really well. So, you know, he might be wearing that gold jacket at the end of today.
Ian, how magnificent does he look too? Apparently he puts a lot of work into his body, is that right?
Yeah, he looks like he's a bit pumped up, isn't he?
Spectacular. And the other bit of news we heard, Michael Wright, who was interesting. At the turn, at the end of his second round, he was leading by a couple of strokes, but he didn't sound like an Australian Masters winner. He had a disappointing round of two over yesterday. He's dropped back to minus seven. He's now running second. You used to babysit him?
Yeah, it's funny. His dad, Gary, who's a golf professional, was my first boss at Gympie Golf Club.
Right.
And Michael was born in February of 1974. And 2 years later, I started my apprenticeship with Gary and would try and make a couple of extra dollars and used to babysit Michael and his elder sister. So I've known him for a long time, played a bit of golf with him, played with him last week, in fact. And he's... hasn't quite done as well as I thought he would do. He's got a really good swing, but at 40 years of age, maybe he's just a late developer.
Mm. Can he win today?
Yeah, if he plays like he did yesterday and just believes in himself, he's only one back. But I think both of the guys at the top are a little more worried about the show ponies just behind them.
Well, I was going to ask you about those show ponies. We'll throw Adam Scott in, even though he doesn't appear to be a show pony to me. He's sitting around there. I think Jeff Ogilvie's not too far off the lead.
He's five under.
Can they come back? Can they win?
Yes, yeah, certainly. They're the ones with the most confidence. And they've done it before, and they have more self-belief. And they'd be thinking, wow, these guys have come back to the pack a little bit. That's given me a better chance. Jeff at five under is only three back, and Adam at four under is only four back. So, yeah, they're definitely going out there this morning with a game plan to win.
I mean, how's the course itself played? The Metropolitan, so many professional golfers come there and are blown away by the course itself, just so impressed by it. Has the course been what you expected this week?
Yeah, I think even better.
Right.
It's really, really good, as are all of the Sandbelt courses and the courses in this area. To me, to the international viewers, it really depicts Australian golf. There's no thick rough lining the fairways. It's big, wide, generous fairways, but if you miss them, you find yourself in deep trouble. And the greens are perfect, and the bunkering is second to none anywhere in the world. So it's just pure golf that everyone enjoys. Actually, the golf course is the story this week.
Right,
sure. It's really been showing up beautifully.
And when the Americans come out, they usually find it, well, they love it, but they find it very difficult because it's not what they're used to. Does it take them a little bit of time to adjust?
Yeah, a lot of time. And the big difference is, guys, if you watch a lot of the golf on the US Tour, there's a very thin little strip of fairway up to the green, and sure, then everything else is 6-inch thick, lush rough. And they just fire at the flags, because if they know it goes a little long or a little wide, it's just off the edge of the green, and they've got a lob wedge out of the rough.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas here in Australia, if you just miss a green, sometimes you've got 30 or 40 metres back to the green because it rolls off so much. And you have to have all this different array of short game shots to be able to play these courses. It's just a different style of golf, and I personally prefer this style.
Yeah, sure.
I don't really like all that thick rough everywhere. I think you've got to have a better imagination here.
Is that why some of the Americans don't come, or is it just the travel and the time of year?
I think the travel and time of year, and the fact that they've played the last 11 months for $10 million a week might have something to do with it. Yeah, they're so spoiled now with so many great tournaments all around the world for so much prize money. The Aussie boys love coming home, though, as sure, Wayne Grady and myself always did. And Greg Norman always set a good example of coming home, which is why Adam Scott and Jeff Ogilvie do it.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of the good Aussie players that come back every year and support the tour.
I think the other thing, you're a wonderful player, but now you sit in the commentary box, it's like my dream job. You have it. I never played professional golf, but you have my dream job. Is it better than playing commentating?
It's certainly a lot less pressure. And I think having seen it both sides, you know, for 10 years I had a really good career and won 20 times and won a major.
Yeah, sure.
And then I had a couple of years of
playing really poorly and not being able to make the team, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I let myself down. I just couldn't figure it out. So now for 17 years I've been doing the announcing,
yeah.
And I see it from both sides. And I think that has helped my announcing ability. And
yeah,
as you
sure.
say, so many like yourself think I have the dream job.
Yeah.
And I really do. I really stay close to the game I love. And I play a lot of golf, which I love to do. And I get to, you know, still be a part of the golfing scene here.
With your experience now, Ian, and your 17 years of commentating, do you know what was going wrong in those couple of lean years?
Yeah, definitely. I should have taken time away when it first started to fade.
Right.
And I should have got myself fitter and said to myself, right, here's a five-year plan. Here's my coach. Here's my team. I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, sure.
But I was always searching. So every month I had a new coach. Doing
right.
this, doing that, trying to get better. And I honestly, by the midway through 96, after 18 months of missing every cut, I just worn myself out.
Yeah,
I needed shoulder surgery. I had to have my toes all taped up for 6 months to separate them. They'd all gone into like an arthritic state. I just, I worked too hard, but not on one plan.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think everyone, well, I know around the world I've got relatives that live in the US, are massive golf fans, and they love Ian Baker Finch. Congratulations on that career. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. The coverage starts on Channel 7. It's from 12:30 p.m. today. It's going to be a fascinating final round. We're going to have to put you on the spot, though, Ian, and you're going to have to find us a winner this afternoon.
I'd love to say Michael Wright or Paul Spargo, one of the two guys at the top, but I really think it'll be Jeff Ogilvy or Adam Scott, and I think I'll go with the green jacket holder, Adam Scott.
There you go, for his third in succession. Ian, again, thanks very much. Have a great day this afternoon, and enjoy your time back in Australia. I'm sure you will.
I always do, and thanks, fellas. Keep doing a great job.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks. Ian Baker Finch there, 1991 British Open winner. What a fascinating chat.
It's a bit like, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, we interviewed Rod Laver.
Yes.
And we were chatting away to him, going, Rod, what do you think about this, blah, 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 and tennis. And I sort of got off, and went into a break, and I thought, sat there speaking to Rod Laver for 15 minutes. He's a bit like that.
Yeah.
He's a bit like, because I've grown up watching him, and I watched the golf in 1991, and I watched the US golf and listened to him commentate, and sit there going, Ian Baker Finch.
Absolutely. And as I said, my relatives in the US, I've got a brother-in-law who's a mad golf fan. He loves Ian Baker Finch. And he's such a successful career now as a commentator. Adam Scott is the $5 favourite on tab.com.au for the Australian Masters. Jeff Ogilvy at $6. Paul Spargo, $7. Nick Cullen, $8, along with James Nitti. So it is a hot field that is chasing Paul Spargo, and you can watch that on Channel 7 from 12:30 this afternoon. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and we're going to follow up with all this West v Parramatta drama from Sydney Grey Cricket. We'll have the Parramatta Club President Greg Monaghan on the show after the break.
The latest on the traffic for Rizzy, Rail Industry Safety Induction.
Working in the rail industry is a great career choice. Want to get started? First, get your Rail Industry Safety Induction card. Go to rizzy.com.au to kickstart your career in rail.
Good morning. No accidents or breakdowns at the moment. We are seeing some heavy eastbound traffic on Marsh Street at Mascot from the M5 to the International Terminal. Expecting heavy traffic around the beaches today due to the weather and delays this afternoon around Moore Park for the cricket at the SCG. Late week specials, Australian boneless pork leg roast, only $7.99 a kilo. This Friday to Sunday, only at IGA and Super IGA. I'm Leighton Archer. That's the traffic on Sky Sports Radio.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email.
Any person, any program, any matter.
One email address will find us all.
Go to skysportsradio.com.au. Click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
Hi, Jamie Rogers here from The Tab. We are celebrating the return of the NBA with our free throw head-to-head special. Right throughout November, if you back any NBA team in the head-to-head market with your Tab account or Tab Rewards card and your team leads at three-quarter time but loses, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet capped at $50 or equivalent Tab Rewards points. It's available all November, only with The Tab. Get on at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile.
Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
The Mudgee region is the flavour of the year. There's such diversity in agriculture, and it's such a beautiful and historical area. Mudgee's leading real estate agency, The Property Shop, is proud to welcome lifestylers, retirees and investors to this magnificent region. It's an area where you can buy a brand new home under $350,000 and rent it for $350 a week, or buy a 10-hectare bush retreat for as low as $100,000. Want to view some of these properties? Then go to thepropertyshop.com.au.
Marketing people love a new bit of research. So if that's you, put down your quinoa salad, because I can now reveal the secret behind radio's success. Hit it!
It's a love thing, everyone knows.
Yep, it's a love thing. Like, it's that simple. Listeners love their favourite radio station. It's what makes millions of Australians turn on, sing out and call in each day. It's why Australians are nine times happier when listening to their favourite station. And why they're in the mood to hear your message right now. So put your brand in a better place and discover all the new opportunities on, in and around radio. Listeners will love you for it. Search radio. It's a love thing.
It's a love thing.
Hello.
All right, enough work. We're going to Mexican.
Your next great night could begin somewhere exotic.
Hey, keep this weekend free and pack to the beach.
Your next great weekend could begin with a surprise. Your next great drive? It begins with the Mazda 3 range. Full smartphone integration. The fuel economy of SkyActiv technology. Select models can even sense trouble and brake automatically. All new Mazda 3 hatch or sedan. The next great drive begins at your Mazda dealer or Mazda3.com.au.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, if you haven't been listening, there's been a bit of a brouhaha in the world of Sydney grade cricket. Western Suburbs v Parramatta. Western Suburbs, Parramatta won the toss, decided to bat. Western Suburbs wanted to give Michael a bat next week. Western Suburbs were batting. They declared none for 17 after about four overs, so Michael could have a bat next week. Now, we've got lucky enough to have the president of the Parramatta Sydney Grade Club on the line. He's also a New South Wales board director in the shape of Greg Monaghan. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Stuart.
Now, yesterday, we got to ask you, what happened? Were you aware? Did you see what was going on? Are you confused?
I'm not confused. Look, I think it was obviously an attempt to ensure that Michael gets a bat before the test match, so that he gets a little bit of quality batting practice. You know, Old Kings Oval is a fantastic place to bat.
Well, I got 100. I got 100 there, so even I could say that. But in saying all of that,
last time Michael batted there, he got 200. So he'd be pretty keen to have a bat, and I think Western Suburbs thought that was the best way to achieve it. It was a pretty interesting day because even though it's a road and it still played beautifully yesterday, the curator had left a bit more grass on it. The umpire's ratings, as you know, Stuart, the umpires rate the grounds each week, and Old Kings has been pretty flat.
Yeah, sure.
And the umpires have been saying leave a bit more grass on. So when I got to the ground yesterday, it was pretty green. I thought, wow, that's
okay. Then why didn't Parramatta declare none for 18?
Well, Parramatta wouldn't have. But I think Western Suburbs, when they were put into bat, decided that enough was enough, and they'd try and organise it so that Michael could get
it. Doesn't that bring the game into disrepute?
Oh well, I think that it was done in the best interests of Australian cricket and of Michael Clarke, wasn't it? So. I think the objectives of it were right. The motives were admirable in one way, but probably not something that we'd normally like to see.
So, Greg, you're a director of Cricket New South Wales. Andrew Jones has made the announcement that there will be an inquiry into what transpired. Obviously, you would not be able to sit within that inquiry because of the conflict of interest with Parramatta. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, I don't feel conflicted. I wasn't involved in the decision at all. I was lucky enough to be there at the ground.
Right.
But, I'm sure I'll get my chance to talk to the inquiry. But I think it'll be handled very, very properly. I think the thing to keep in mind is that there was Western Suburbs, I think, did it with the best motives and the best intentions for Australian cricket. So whether we agree with it or not, I think that was the motivation, and you can understand that.
So based on that, your recommendation would be that nothing would be recourse for Western Suburbs Cricket Club or the captain, Jeff Cook.
Oh, I'm not going to preempt what an inquiry might say, but all I'm saying is that it's obvious the reasons and the motivations that they had in mind. It's been pretty clear. There's been a tremendous amount of publicity, hasn't there, this week, Michael Clarke's going to be playing or not, and what the process might be. So,
well, Greg,
you know,
Greg,
I think it's the best motivation.
Yeah. Well, Greg, I actually think it's a complete and utter joke, to be fair, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it completely devalues the product of Sydney grade cricket, and I think Jeff Cook and the Western Suburbs Cricket Club should be in some sort of trouble over it, but at the end of the day, I'd imagine there'll be a full investigation into what has happened and the reasons why, and yes, I fully respect why they did it, and I want to see Michael Clarke playing in the Test match in Brisbane next week as well, because he's our captain and everything else, but it doesn't come at the expense of Sydney grade cricket or some guy that's just gone out there and he's trying to make his way in Sydney grade cricket.
Yep, I understand your point of view, and I think we all like to see grade cricket as a very tough feeder competition. It is a tough competition,
sure,
and it's we like to support the integrity of that competition. There's absolutely no doubt about that, Stuart.
Yep,
and I think if we get an opportunity to see Test players playing grade cricket, we want first class players playing grade cricket at every opportunity, and I think the stronger that competition, the better, and the greater the integrity. I think that's really what we're aiming for sure.
All right. Well, Greg, I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on. We've asked David Gilbert to come on, who's the president of Western Suburbs Cricket Club. He hasn't got back to us, but appreciate your time of trying to explain the situation, and we wish you all the best, and hopefully Michael gets a bat next week.
Good on you, Stuart. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. There he goes. Greg Monaghan, Parramatta Cricket President and also a New South Wales Board Director.
Now, this is interesting. So Mystery Man gets in contact with us via Twitter, at Big Sports WEND. Funnily enough, we don't know who Mystery Man is. Even though he had nothing to do with it, surely this grade cricket drama has further tainted Clark's public image. Well, I don't agree with that at all.
I'm not sure about that.
He can in no way be held responsible for...
I don't
look,
agree.
I'd like to have a bat. Can you try and manufacture that?
But he would not have... I know Michael, he would not have done that.
No.
That hasn't tainted his... In my opinion, it hasn't tainted his reputation.
No.
I don't think he was... Was he at the game?
Good question. Don't know.
He was having physio and treatment, all the rest of it. That doesn't taint anything.
1353-53. Despite what we hear from Cricket Australia, we hear all different things about Michael Clarke's hamstring. We still don't know whether he's going to be available for Australia. They name the squad, extended squad, tomorrow for marketing reasons, according to Mark Ward. No.
Not since... There's never been a quicker press release come out after within about 20 minutes. Whoa, here comes a press release. That's not the case.
What was it? It was logistical reasons. Oh, okay. Well, for logistical reasons right now, we're going to a sports update with Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
The Wallabies fell short going down to Ireland this morning in the rugby test in Dublin, 26-23. The Aussies fought back from 17-0 down to level at half-time, but Johnny Sexton kicked the decisive penalty in the 63rd minute. Now the Spring Tour matches, Scotland 37 beat Tonga 12, South Africa 22, Italy 6, New Zealand 34-16 over Wales. Leading group Paul Spargo and Michael Wright tee off at 1:15 in the final round of the Australian Masters Golf at the Metropolitan today in Melbourne. Spargo is on top at 8 under, Wright is next at 7 under, then there's a group of 3 at minus 6, 2 at minus 5, which includes Jeff Ogilvie, and a group of 8 at 4 under, including Adam Scott. Both Western Sydney and Newcastle still looking for that elusive win, with last night's A-League game at Wonderland ending in a nil-all draw. Wanderers coach Tony Popovich says he remains frustrated but insists they are heading in the right direction. At Amy Park, a good away win for the Sky Blues, Mark Janko scoring twice to help Sydney to a 2-1 win over Melbourne City. Today, the Central Coast are home to Adelaide. Big win for Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka in the doubles at the Davis Cup final overnight. Julien Benneteau and Richard Gasquet, the French team, They won that match 6-3, 7-5, 6-4, giving Switzerland a 2-1 lead over France with the reverse singles to come. France last won the Davis Cup in 2001, but the Swiss have never won it. No luck for any of the New South Wales or Victorian gallopers in either of the Group 1s in Perth last night, with Magnifioso winning the Winterbottom Stakes and Elite Bell taking out the Railway Stakes, while at Tabcourt Park Menangle, Suave Stewie Lombo, driven by Lauren Pinella. Great name, wasn't it?
Picked up then? What was that about?
The winner of the sprint last night at Tabcourt Park Menangle, Suave Stewie Lombo.
Yeah. Named after me, I think.
Suave Stewie.
Evidently.
Lombo.
And that win puts Stewie into next weekend's Miracle Mile. The Formula One Championship driver to be decided from the last Grand Prix of the season. That's in Abu Dhabi tonight. Now, Lewis Hamilton has to finish first or second to claim the title. Nico Rosberg has to win and have Hamilton finish third or worse for the trophy to be his. Rosberg has pole, while Dan Ricciardo has been relegated to the back of the grid after an investigation concluded that Red Bull were using cars fitted with illegal parts. Who are? EPL scores overnight. Chelsea 2, West Brom 0, Everton 2-1 over West Ham. Leicester and Sunderland nil all. Man City 2, Swansea 1. Newcastle 1-0 over QPR. Stoke 1, Burnley 2. Arsenal 1, Man United 2. Australia beat Ireland 56-46 in the Australian rules match in Perth, if you're interested.
Right.
38,262 at Patterson Stadium.
How many?
Sellout. 38,262.
Global sport.
See, that's the NRL. You bagging.
No, it's not.
How much interest did you have in it?
I didn't even know it was on.
Exactly.
Who got man of the match? I saw that someone got man of the match.
I did too.
Yeah.
I read that.
Who was that?
Quickly forgot.
We'll find out.
Paul somebody?
We'll work out who got man of the match.
Hamish will let us know.
Come on, Hamish, who got man of the match? No, not sure.
Just well done to the Irish coach, who's actually a New Zealander, who was admitted to hospital straight after the game.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah, with appendicitis. He had hinted that he'd been suffering pain during an interview. In fact, he said he'd been in agony all day. And when asked, would the win set them up for the Six Nations title, he said, mate, I'm just hoping to survive the night.
Fair point.
Their captain, Paul O'Connell, said that he didn't come close to them all day. He stayed away in case what he had was catching, because they didn't actually know. He said he didn't want to distract us from our focus. So they took him straight to a hospital, and I'm assuming his appendix will make an appearance in a jar very soon.
That's like Chris Anderson. Remember, Chris Anderson was watching a test match in the stands.
Wasn't he having a heart attack?
He had chest pains.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, he went, look, this is just too much. And I think they took him out in an ambulance in the end. His health's fine, but that was about a decade ago, I think.
And could have been really dangerous, because if your appendix bursts, you're in massive trouble.
Yeah, it's so time conscious.
Time crucial. Taking one for the team.
Not to mention if your heart bursts.
Yeah, that's crucial as well.
A little bit more trouble.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number. Just on the Wallabies, we're trying to get inside the Wallabies camp. I don't think we're having a great deal of success with that after their 26 points to 23 loss to Ireland. It was an incredible game. I saw the highlights this morning all over the place. Nick Phipps, a couple of tries, an intercept forward pass. He was in everything, Nick Phipps. So played well, but unfortunately the side lost. I want to talk about this Sydney FC player, Mark Yanko. He gave up the opportunity to play for Austria against Brazil to come back and get his preparation right for Sydney FC. Scores two goals, he's a star.
He is a star. I watched the game last night. He looks bigger than everyone else. He's very tall, but still quite quick around the ground, and a good marquee signing for Sydney FC. And it goes to show that maybe the A-League's gaining some momentum around the world. To give up playing for your country, against Brazil, mind you.
Exactly.
Is it in Rio?
No, it was in Europe. It was in Europe.
Been there before, don't worry about it.
Played there before.
It's still, give up an international cap for your club team.
Yes.
You're talking a different realm. And David Gallop should be commended. I know you mightn't want to do that, but David Gallop should be commended.
Hang on a minute.
You're not a fan of David Gallop, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are now?
Oh, I am now. Jeez.
You
just want to put people in baskets and say you don't like that, or you do like
that.
I want
to put you in a basket with a great big lid on it.
Mate, you've got to judge these things on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, that's how you do it with the rugby league.
Of course I do.
Oh, yeah,
of course
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the National Rugby League.
What for now?
Well, they won an award during the week.
Oh, what for?
A worldwide award about leading programs in with alcohol, managing alcohol. I'm serious.
Who awarded that?
I'll get the award, award.
Can you find out who the judges were?
I think it was...
They were all
Dave
on the alcohol,
Smith,
I think.
Dave Smith.
I was on the panel.
No. No, that wasn't.
Okay.
Max Krilich, Tom Radonikis, and Peter Peters. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and we're going to come back and talk some football. We'll take your calls as well, 1353-53. We'll talk some football with Andy Pascalides.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Stu is a must for sports nuts like us. But if you missed any of today's program, log on to skysportsradio.com.au, go to radio and click on podcast to catch up with all your weekend sporting news.
Spoil your family this Christmas at Harvey Norman with a huge range of gift ideas for everyone you love. Take our Christmas payment option and pay no deposit, zero interest and no payments until May 2015. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $250. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in store or online. Something for the family or for your home. Make Christmas shopping a breeze with this great payment option available now at Harvey Norman.
Go!
Glenn Munsey here. My favourite course in Sydney is the Bankstown Golf Club at Milperra. I'm raising funds for Special Olympics, helping people with intellectual disabilities reach their personal best through sport. The AHEPA Golf Club's lending a hand too. I want you to organise a team of four for my charity golf day. Or you can sponsor a hole. Or shout your clients to 18 holes. And join me afterwards at the 19th hole. It's December 12th. Andy Pascalides has the details. Email andyp@specialolympics.com.au or call Andy P on 0467 764 598.
Get into harness and help celebrate 50 years of pacing at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Gates open from 8 a.m. with full betting on the USA races. And the first local race just after 5.
Kids rides, free fairy floss, family activities and lots more at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
We've put a tweet out there saying, you know, have your say, will Sydney outdraw Melbourne for the ODI yes. today? And of course, it's a dead rubber and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Play for world number one, though.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key.
Because that matters to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone go, oh, gee, that could be world number one. Let's get out there. Kev has said, it's 40 degrees.
Yes.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's working against Cricket Australia. I'm not going out. No. Okay. I'll have it on. Actually, we've got an event, the function.
Oh, have you?
This afternoon. But the TV will be on and the golf and the cricket. You'll alternate between that.
Well, you're going to carry the controller around your pocket.
Potentially. How good was Ian Baker Finch? That was very enjoyable to speak to IBF. Looking to get more for less? Look no further than Mazda BT50, the ute with more, now for less. Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XT manual, now from an incredible $39,990 drive away. For under $40,000, you get car-like comfort and plenty of grunt. With up to 3.5-ton towing capacity, a huge tub, and turbo diesel power engine. The whole 2014 BT50 4x4 range has been reduced. So whether you need it for work or a weekend away, it's hard to go past the Mazda BT50. Reward yourself today. Find out about the greater value on BT50 at your local Mazda dealer.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
85-71, 10-17.
What's the number?
Oh, sorry.
Swear jar.
135353, give us a call now, Big Sports Breakfast.
Boom.
Completely forgot.
Yeah.
I've been away for a couple of weeks. Sophie from Strath will be all over me there. We're going to go to some callers now. But look, if we're going to talk Sydney grade cricket, keep it short. If you want to talk about, you know, just keep it short because it's Sydney grade cricket. And for me, it's a tad boring, I think, for the listeners too. Morning, Marlon.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Sorry, I just got the beach phone. Sorry about that. Hang on. I've got you now.
Yep.
Sorry.
Sure.
Go for it, Marlon.
Yeah, look, as soon as I heard that story last night, it took me back to my team down here in the Shoal Haven. 6 or 7 years ago, we had a player of ours was overseas in Ireland having a season of cricket, and he was still travelling around. We named him on the team sheet to qualify him for the finals. We told the umpire and the offos that, he's just stuck in traffic.
It's good life.
At Heathrow.
And we just happened to have a guy there in his white, waiting to come on as a sub fielder after a couple of overs. just to fill the gap for the rest of the day. But he qualified, we made the grand final, we lost. But I say all's well that ends well.
Well, Marlon, you're just trying to justify the rorting that was going on. We might throw it out there, 13:53:53. What strange things have you done on the team sheet to try and get your star player to play?
What rort have you concocted to win a game? So, thanks, Marlon. Appreciate it. Good on you.
Good one.
Morning, Adrian.
Hey guys, quick comment on that, and then also the rugby.
Yes.
First of all, why didn't they just wait and see? Because if they win the toss, they wouldn't have to worry about this whole episode.
You can't.
Yeah, but at least they should have at least tried that.
You've got to put your team.
There's a whole heap of rules around that.
Fair enough. Then also, you'd have to be gullible and naive if you think Michael Clarke wasn't complicit in this, seriously.
Oh, come
in the whole episode.
Okay, let's say he was complicit in it and said, I really want to have a hit next week because I've got a test match coming up. So what?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but at least don't be so gullible and naive to think that he wouldn't be involved in it.
Adrian, no one said that he wasn't involved. Mystery Man sent a tweet saying, surely this impacts on Clark's public image. Well, I don't think it impacts on his public image at all.
I reckon we need to know the details of what he said to Dale Steyn when he abused him, because I think it's important to public interest, because for Dale Steyn and A.B. de Villiers still to not let it go, it must have been woeful what he said.
Anyway, look, whatever he said, we're never going to know, because they're never going to let it out.
Right. It must have been woeful. And then finally with rugby, seriously, the administrators since 2003 to the present, and Bill Purwell has been a spectacular failure. They failed the sport. I mean, there was a report in the paper the other day. They're putting up registration fees and they're cutting funding. Can you get someone from rugby administration to say why they've been such a disgrace?
I saw that, Adrian, actually. They're now asking not only for the registration, they're asking for, what was it? They described it as a participation fee.
Well, it's obvious why they're doing that.
They've got no money.
They're broke.
But hang on, the Football Federation Australia does that all the time.
Yeah,
they do that all the time. They're broke.
Look, rugby's got some, we've talked about massive issues. They only play just up and down, you know, North Sydney there and maybe a little bit north and in the eastern suburbs. You know, they don't play anywhere else. Yeah, so their market's very small.
Yeah.
They're taking games out to ANZ Stadium, bigger crowds and all that.
Yeah.
The TV deal's done and dusted. And they've taken an advance on next year's money and they're not on free-to-air TV. And 10, yeah, they do a bit of it, but they've got three test matches a year or something like that? Four?
Maybe. I think the 10 do broadcast.
They do.
But Fox do this
Fox
one,
do
the spring tour
Super
as well.
12, their feeder competition, like they're comparable to the NRL, which is on Fox only. It's not on Nine.
No,
so they've got some issues. They need to find money from somewhere. From what I can gather, they're cutting staff left, right and centre.
Mm.
This is like a... It's like the super tax or a debt levy, like the government are implacing, for the general population.
That's right.
It's the rugby levy to keep them afloat.
Yeah, and if you're losing money, then you've got to do something. You can't keep losing money because you end up going broke. So I understand why they're doing it. It's just it's a different funding model compared to the models of the AFL and to the National Rugby League.
And if I was going to ask a sporting code, I was going to look at a sporting code and ask for a fee. The rugby code's not a bad code to look at because a lot of the followers are fairly well-to-do people.
Excellent point.
They're very...
Fairly
well-to-do is probably incorrect.
Yeah.
They're very well-to-do.
Apparently, they did think about taxing everyone a Land Rover that was playing in rugby.
They didn't think that was enough.
No, that's right. They'd still have three Land Rovers, so maybe the two Land Rover policy might come in. We'll take your thoughts on that too. 13:53:53 is that open line number. We do appreciate the calls. I must admit, when I woke up this morning, I didn't think we'd be talking Sydney grade cricket callers. But...
Actually, in the last 3 years that I've been on this show, I didn't think we'd ever talk Sydney grade cricket.
But we are, and we'll take more calls on it. 13:53:53.
On the Big Sports Breakfast with Slats and TK.
GWS Giants Football Operations Manager Simon Kadich.
Kadich, it seems like you've found your feet really in this role.
I've really enjoyed working with the young guys because I look back at the start of my career in cricket and I was very fortunate to have great guidance. Not saying that that's my role now, you know, there's obviously a lot of coaches that have that mentoring role, but just to work with the young leaders and hopefully get them to set the tone for the rest of the group.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Brought to you by TAB and the Mazda BT50 Ute.
Get into harness and help celebrate 50 years of pacing at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Gates open from 8 a.m. with full betting on the USA races. And the first local race just after 5.
Kids rides, free fairy floss, family activities and lots more at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah, and the brand new showroom in Broadmeadow Road, Broadmeadow.
December is a great time to trade bloodstock before the 2015 sale season. Entries close November 28 for the Inglis Summer Thoroughbred Sale at Newmarket on Friday, December 5. Entry forms and info at inglis.com.au. Catalogue available online December 2.
On Sky Sports Radio... This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sport.
Clarification here, you mean a Range Rover, Jimmy, not a Land Rover.
Sorry, my mistake. It's a Range Rover Sport 7
exactly,
seat,
yeah.
Something like that.
This one from Master Monkey, we wrote it our school captain vote. Rigby went in a landslide voted by students. Small problem. There was no Rigby. Still makes me chuckle. So this is another one that's come in from Graham. Good morning, boys. Unfortunately, I only caught the tail end of Mono's, that's Greg Monaghan, Parramatta District Cricket Club President and New South Wales Cricket Director, caught the tail end of his interview. But I hope that it wasn't Jeff Cook's idea of what went on yesterday. I can't imagine ever sacrificing 6 points to satisfy one cricketer's personal needs. It might help pull a crowd. They might get 19 people there, plus families. That's from Graham. So there's another take on it.
What happens if it rains?
That someone else said, well, what happens if it rains next week? That was Alan at Rockdale.
On, give him a bat on a weddy.
On a weddy.
Break his finger.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if that happened.
Well, okay, there you go. He goes out to bat, gets one off a length, busts his finger.
But that's the game.
Well, that's exactly. That's the game. That's why you don't do what you did.
We're speaking to Brad Haddon. A little bit later on in the program. Interesting to see what he thinks. And he's going out to play in a Shield game. Everyone's talking about his shoulder. What if he hurts his a finger in the Shield game and he can't play the Test? You know, that's sport.
It is sport. And that's why you don't do what you did.
1353 53, the open line number. We beg to differ on that one. Chris is on the line. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, look, I want to back Stuart up here. It diminishes the whole grade competition. And what I don't understand is, why did Parramatta declare?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. They thought they'd get a couple of wickets late tonight, maybe get the man that's replacing Michael Clark out. But what you would have found is that guy's batting 10 or 11 anyway, so you wouldn't have seen him on the team sheet. I would have declared it none for 18. I really would have.
This is the thing. I mean, I think there was a test, wasn't there, with England and South Africa with Cronje, where they both, England and South Africa, declared to try and manufacture a result about 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I think you're right, it diminishes it. But this whole thing with the squad being announced tomorrow.
The marketing squad.
How many is going to be in this squad?
Oh, 16 or 17, I would have thought.
Really? That many?
Yeah, well, Clark will be in there, Haddon will be in there. There'll be two covers for them, so that's 14. There'll be three fast bowlers, four or five fast bowlers. So there'll be 16 or 17, I would have thought.
Look, I mean, Junior came out and unfortunately said the truth that he would have liked to have actually had another week to look at the second round of Shield games before they picked the team, but of course, for logistic reasons, we can't.
Yeah.
This is farcical, what's happening tomorrow, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, good on you, Chris. We appreciate that. It goes back to 10-11 when they named 17 for the squad for the Ashes, and we know how that ended. So
and they all get ruled. Those 16 or 17 get ruled out of Shield cricket, so they don't get to play.
Which is crazy. Ryan Harris has actually said, no, I want to play. I want to play Shield game because he needs a bowl.
And, you know, sometimes in blokes, you know, you hear that, batters need to bat a bit, get themselves into form.
Yeah.
Well, bowlers need to get a few wickets too and bowl a few overs. Yeah. You can't just, you know, bowling in the nets is great and all the rest of it. So
we might get your Test 11 after the 9 o'clock news, just who you would pick first test.
Okay.
Very shortly.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Speaking of 11, let's go to the world of football. Andy Pascalides is Sky Sports Radio's Mr. Football. G'day, Andy. You there, Andy?
Yes, I'm very loud and clear. Can you hear me okay?
No, we got you. We got you. Hey, some interesting A-League results, but I want to go to this Mark Yanko, who gave up, we were talking about it earlier, gave up the opportunity to play against Brazil for his national team, Austria, and because of his commitment to Sydney FC and the A-League, and two goals last night just underscored that. He is a star.
It's incredible. He had played in a European qualifier. Remember, the FIFA international calendar allowed for two games for quite a few countries. Some of them had a Euro qualifier. And then midweek, as we had a friendly against Japan, the same situation arose for Austria v Brazil. And it's an incredible gesture about wanting to be committed, wanting to be ready, and boy, oh boy, did he deliver. Getting those two goals, Sydney have maintained this fantastic start to the season. And it's a really good four-horse race at the moment, isn't it, in the A-League? Yeah.
Okay, Sydney are going great. What's going on with the Wanderers? Now, they're the Asian Cup champions, but struggling with...
Two draws at home against the Mariners in midweek and last night against Newcastle. It wasn't through lack of effort by any means.
Sure.
Tommy Urich scored a great goal to open the account in the 19th, and Flores, a wonderful run and a great pass in by David Carney, the former Socceroo. But, you know, Urich hit the crossbar again in the second half, had a header saved as well. Geez, it's going to be interesting how they prepare now for the big one, the sellout derby. We're all expecting that one. Well, it's not a sellout now, but we expect it will be.
Yeah.
That's going to be mouth-watering.
So that's
Sydney.
Next week, Saturday, 7:30 kickoff out there at Pertec Stadium, Western Sydney versus Sydney FC. As you say, Andy, it's going to be massive. But then how long till Western Sydney are back on a plane and flying over to Africa for the World Club Challenge? It's a tough road there, Howie.
That's right. I mean, they've got to go to Morocco,
play
Cruz Azul and hope to get through that and then face Real Madrid if they can. You know, this whole Asian Champions League has really affected them, no doubt about that, domestically. And it's just a weird competition in the sense of the calendar that crosses over from last season into off-season, into pre-season, into the next season. And it's been very telling. You know, the rotation policy wasn't prevalent last night for Popper. He only made two changes from the Central Coast Mariners match in midweek. There was 10 changes in midweek, so it's just a headache for Tony. They've got to get through it. Look at the table, 16 points behind Perth, who got up 2-1 on Friday night.
Does the Wanderers write off this A-League season?
Look, it's feasible making the six. Melbourne City are on 6 points in sixth position, so a couple of wins changes the whole season for them, but they've got to get that winning mentality back.
Okay. All right, let's go to overseas, English Premier League. You'll be upset. West Ham went down 2-1 to Everton, but what a win from Manchester United, 2-1 against Arsenal at Arsenal.
That's right. And Wayne Rooney, the second goal in the 85th minute pretty much killed it before Olivier Giroud scored at the death there for the Gunners. But I'll tell you what, it's a long season for some of these heavyweights at the moment too, because Arsenal on 17 points, Chelsea are on 32 points. They got up against West Brom, their sixth straight premiership win at the Bridge. As you mentioned, Everton beating the Hammers, Chelsea beating West Brom. Man City got up 2-1. They were down, actually, 1-0 in the ninth minute against Swansea. Swansea are a good side. I like the way they play. They're on 18 points, Swansea. So at the moment, guys, Chelsea are on 32 points. Southampton are on 25 points. They're away to Villa on Monday night in the UK, Tuesday morning our time. The Man City on 24. Man United and Newcastle on 19. Yeah. So Chelsea are just... Look, with all due respect to Southampton, the challenge has to come from Man City.
Yeah, just about all over. Now, Lionel Messi, what's my man Lionel been doing?
You'll be happy, Jimmy. Hat-trick.
Yeah.
5-1 win against Sevilla at the Nou Camp. 251 goals in 289 appearances.
Whoa.
Yeah. Couldn't win Argentina the World Cup, though, could he?
And Ronaldo, at the same time, he scored twice. So that's 20 goals in just 11 games this season.
They're just two superstars, those blokes, aren't they?
They are. There is a bit of mutual respect. A lot of people think they don't get on at all, but there is a bit of mutual respect.
I reckon it's better for the theatre if they don't get on, because it looks like...
Right.
I think... You know, it looks much better if you just think, they don't like one
Every story needs a villain.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Who would be the villain?
Oh, Ronaldo.
You reckon?
Lionel.
Because he's got the muscles and the drives of the car.
He's a flamboyant guy.
And he does like petrol ads and stuff like that.
Yeah, all that stuff. No, my man, Lionel, he's the good guy. Quick, we better get a tip from you, Andy. Central Coast, $3. The draw, $3.40. Adelaide United, $2.25.
Look, all my tips this week went well until the Wanderers. Unfortunately, I'm going to go...
It's because you tip with your heart, Dan. Just tip with your head, not your heart, with that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm going for the draw. You know, the Mariners have won 10 of the last 12 against Adelaide.
Yeah, good record.
I think they might be good value for the draw. And tonight, Liverpool are away from home and Spurs away from home. I think they'll do the job at Palace and Hull, respectively.
Good on you, mate. Have a great
weekend. Cheers, guys.
Andy Pascalidis, there, Mr. Football here at Sky Sports Radio. So he likes the draw, $3.40, Central Coast.
What do you think?
Versus Adelaide United. I like the draw too.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm doing that.
Go with Adelaide. I'm going with Adelaide.
Go with my head. I'll tell you who I do like. Josip Gombau. He's the coach. He's a Spanish guy.
Yeah.
He, dancing around with the players after they score a goal. He's fantastic.
One.
After the break, we're going to get your test 11.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are. Contractually, you're obliged to do that.
Start writing this down.
You're going to put Lionel Messi in it, Cristiano Ronaldo. We're also going to have a chat with Brad Haddon. We'll look forward to that, the Australian wicketkeeper who's coming back from a shoulder injury. He's going to play for New South Wales in that Shield game, starts on Tuesday. And then he's potentially the 45th Test captain of Australia.
Sports Radio News for toyotamaterialhandling.com.au, Australia's first choice in forklifts.
Macquarie National News at 9. Good morning, I'm Beau Mitchum. Police have rescued a baby found abandoned in a drain in Sydney's northwest. Eloise Wilkinson reports.
A passerby called emergency services after hearing the cries of an infant from the drain over an hour ago. Police and paramedics both arrived at the location between Quakers and Chaplain Roads at Quakers Hill. Initially, they could hear a baby but couldn't find it. Then, just before 8:30, the infant was spotted. Officers safely managed to pluck the child from the drain and paramedics have taken the baby to Westmead Children's Hospital. It's understood the infant has no obvious signs of injuries. Eloise Wilkinson, Macquarie National News.
Firefighters are on alert for any fresh blazes with extremely hot conditions forecast across much of the state today. A total fire ban's in place for 7 regions, including Greater Sydney, the Hunter and the Central Ranges. The fire danger in those areas is rated as severe, with temperatures expected to reach the mid-40s. Rural Fire Service Inspector Ben Shepherd says it's important people know what to do should they get caught in a bushfire.
Once a fire has passed, move back outside the actual property and put out any spot fires. Or if not possible, then move away from the building. But being inside a solid structure will give you the best protection in the event of a bush or grass fire.
A man has drowned after his kayak capsized in a dam in the state's central west. The 36-year-old was paddling with a 5-year-old on Chifley Dam near Bathurst last night when their boat capsized. He managed to save the girl before going underwater. He didn't resurface. It appears Senator Jackie Lambie has decided to split from the Palmer United Party. Elizabeth Daniels reports.
Clive Palmer's outspoken and often controversial recruit will go it alone in the upper house. The Telegraph reports Jackie Lambie is awaiting legal advice before making a formal announcement. She says constituents in Tasmania have urged her to have a shot at it herself. As she prepares to free herself from party constraints, she maintains she'll continue to vote against all government measures until the Defence Force pay deal is bettered. Elizabeth Daniels, Macquarie National News.
The state government says Parramatta Road is a wasteland and an eyesore which has to be transformed. The planning minister has released details of an upgrade for the area. It includes building 60,000 new apartments. Prue Goward says nothing is confirmed yet and she's urging the public to have its say.
We will be actively engaging with the communities. There's no doubt Parramatta Road is an eyesore. It's a wasted opportunity, a wasteland of car parks and empty shops, and it's time that that was revitalised.
Islamist militants have ambushed a bus in Kenya and executed 28 non-Muslims on board. And Italian officials say they've rescued nearly 800 people from migrant boats in the Mediterranean in the last 48 hours. Now with sport, Danielle Pogson.
Though the Wallabies have slumped to back-to-back losses with a 26-23 defeat to Ireland in Dublin, the Australians fought back from 17-0 to run in 3 tries against the Six Nations champions. Former skipper Nathan Sharp has told Fox Sports the squad needs to be focus the entire 80 minutes.
If they can find some sort of pattern that they can get familiarity with, and that gives them confidence when times are tough, and I think the Wallabies probably need to find that pattern of play that's going to stand them in good stead when pressure comes on.
Mark Yanko put on a show with two goals in Sydney FC's 2-1 win over Melbourne City at Amy Park. The marquee striker dominated the field, helping the Sky Blues to continue their unbeaten A-League streak. City coach John Van Schip says it was out of their hands in the dying minutes.
We gave it away at the end, and then it was difficult the last few minutes to get the equaliser.
The Wanderers have been held to a 1-1 draw with Newcastle Jets at Parramatta Stadium. Michael Wright trails Paul Spargo by one stroke heading into the final round of the Australian Masters. Australia and South Africa play out a dead rubber for the final one day at the SCG today. The Aussies can claim the ICC top ranking with a win after already claiming the series. South Sydney recruit Cody Walker has been stood down indefinitely over domestic assault charges. That's sport. I'm Danielle Pogson.
This is Macquarie National News. It's 9:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot with a possible afternoon shower, a total fire ban's in place. Tops 35 degrees in the coast, 43 in the west, shower or two tomorrow. Right now in the city, 23 degrees, humidity 71%, winds from the east at 6 kilometres an hour. 23 degrees at Bankstown and Campbelltown, 24 Gosford, Penrith and Richmond.
When Racing HQ finishes, Andrew Bensley just keeps reporting. Get his latest racing updates and news as it breaks on Twitter at Andrew Bensley.
Ever thought of working on the railway? Driving a loader, a crane, or laying track? Mo here knows all about it.
Yep, if you want a career with a bit of adventure and good rewards in the rail industry, check out RISI.com.au.
RISI?
Yep, stands for Rail Industry Safety Induction. RISI cards are issued by Transport for New South Wales. It's your first qualification, you have to have it.
Take a look at RISI.com.au and get trained.
That's RISI.com.au.
Your family should be in Goulburn today. It's a Tab Saddle Up Sunday, Goulburn Cup Day, with heaps of entertainment for kids, live music, G-Stores fashions on the field, and great Goulburn racing, featuring the $100,000 Argyle Fire Services Goulburn City Cup. There's the Guy Walters Emirates Park Handicap for fillies and mares, and more Tab races sponsored by Goulburn Post, Goulburn Produce, Pertec, and the Goulburn Mulwari Council. Gates open 11 a.m. Goulburn's your race place today.
This is Danny Green. On a night out just like this, take it from me. One punch can be deadly. Thrown in anger, without warning, without gloves, it can kill. One punch can end their life and ruin yours. It takes grunt to throw it. It takes guts to walk away. One punch can be deadly.
Authorised and spoken by Danny Green, Perth.
Prince Paul back to Marshall. The footwork. Benji Marshall. Now the speed. Away from Peachy. Passes without looking. Away for Richards. Back to Fitzhenry. That is as good as you will see anywhere in the National Rugby League.
9 metres out. Fast play the ball.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Jimmy Smith and Stuart Clark.
Heated discussion about Sydney grade cricket continues into the second hour of the program. Okay, we'll take a call on it, 1353 53. There's some funny stories that are coming to light. We believe that one team in the Hunter Valley put F. Cotton as a player on the team sheet a couple of years ago. We'll talk about that, but we want to talk about the big game out at the SCG today. Well, we think it's a big game. The cricket's been excellent. It is for the number one ODI team in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're just wondering how many people are going to turn up, Stuart Clark.
Well, from my understanding, there wasn't many pre-tickets sold.
Right.
Pre-sales.
Not a good sign.
No, and I can't imagine with the heat that is supposed to be today.
Yes.
A lot of walk-up sales. Mm. So I'd imagine if they got 10 to 15, they'd be pretty happy. I think that, well, sorry, not that's incorrect.
No.
If they got 10 to 15,
they'd
that
expect
would be,
it, that, but they'd be very unhappy.
I think they'd be expecting 20,000.
Right.
And I know James Sutherland came out and he said the TV ratings are good and all the rest of it.
Yeah, which they are.
But they are, and, but people not turning up is a big issue.
It looks horrible.
Yeah, so the other thing that gets me about the cricket, they dress up, it's the dress up, get dressed up.
Yes, yes, yes.
How does that affect your merchandise sales when you're trying to sell cricket jerseys? ASICs make all the clothing. Do you think they're happy about dressing up in something other than the jerseys?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Because usually, I remember when Adidas came out with theirs and Ricky Ponting 14, every second kid at the cricket had Ricky Ponting 14.
And let's face it, they're ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, they are.
But it's a money spinner. We used to have it with the Sixers, trying to sell merchandise.
Yeah, of course.
We wanted people to come in their pink or their magenta.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you want them to come in your favourite Cricket Australia player's shirt?
That's...
That means you've got to go and buy one?
Yeah.
Which means there's more revenue coming in?
Yes, yes. The dress-up is appealing to that crowd that goes to the races, you know, or the young and...
Well, no, they all get dressed up in hats and look good. People dress up as bananas.
Well, you don't think it's a good-looking banana?
Come as a chocolate move. I don't know.
1353. Now, the other thing is, it came out during the week, ANZ Stadium had a big announcement that they're bringing the end goal seats a little bit closer to the end goal area, that they're potentially going to put a roof over ANZ Stadium. They're looking for just the $250 million from the New South Wales government.
Are we talking stadiums now?
Yeah. No, stadia, because I haven't got to Allianz Stadium yet. The speculation there that the New South Wales government are looking to put a 65,000-seat stadium, brand-new stadium there.
Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? They'll open up the sides higher, are they?
Oh, they can build the same that many seat stadium in the same space. So you look at something like Suncorp Stadium.
So you're going to knock it down and start again?
Oh, something like that, yeah.
I thought they were going to put a roof on that. They weren't going to do that. Do we need a 65,000-seat stadium?
Good point. I don't reckon we do. I reckon 50,000 or 52,000.
You can do up the one you got. Maybe turn it in, what is it, 40 now, Allianz? Turn it into 50, 45, 50?
Yeah.
Do it up because it needs... It's 25 to 30 years old or
needs
something.
A roof on it, needs Wi-Fi and all that sort of stuff. And then you can do other events like concerts and
now
so
maybe,
forth.
Now, maybe there's a problem with doing that because the way it was built, you can't just upgrade it to the standard it needs to be. It needs to have modern technology within it. Mm. I don't know. But I don't think we need... my personal opinion is I don't think we need a 65,000-seat stadium at Moore Park. Unless we just had all this money, we didn't know what to do with it. You know what? Let's have a 65,000-seat stadium.
And there'd probably be a couple of hospitals around the state that'd say, oh, we know what to do with the
money.
A
couple more policemen?
Yeah, exactly.
Give someone a pay rise. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm all for bigger stadiums.
Yeah.
And I'm all for spending money on that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But not at the expense of people that actually work hard and do stuff that don't follow sport.
You're not suggesting that there's people in this state that aren't sports lovers like you and I.
No, there might be a couple.
Might be a couple.
You know what?
But how many times are they going to vote March election?
If they don't like sport, they're certainly not listening to this show.
Something for everyone here. Sydney Grade cricket enthusiasts going crazy this morning. 1353 53, the open line number.
Do you think we need a 65,000-seat stadium?
No, I wouldn't build it that big. Because it creates its own demand to have it a bit smaller. Look at Suncorp Stadium. Perfect built for rectangular sports.
Yeah.
And yet, at State of Origin time and for big Broncos games, they say, we've got to buy our ticket early because otherwise we'll miss out. Well, that creates its own momentum. Mm. I think they can do something similar at Moore Park.
And look, they're going down this two-stadia strategy, which we know about.
Or three stadia. Another one out
and
west.
And Brookvale are getting there a little bit up there. And,
yes.
But English soccer, take out the big teams, they all play at little stadiums.
Yes, they do. And you know where they're getting their massive revenues? Is international broadcast deals. And what they're saying is, we don't care about ticket prices and all that sort of thing. We just want the stadiums to look full.
Yeah,
because when they're full, it translates better on TV to our international markets.
That's a decision.
The NFL are shrinking their stadiums because they have a policy on their broadcast that if it's not sold out, they can't broadcast it live. So they say, well, we've got to sell them out. Yeah. So let's build a smaller stadium.
Okay.
Which is interesting about the model. We'll take your thoughts on that, 1353-53, what you think about that. We've got a tweet that came in here from Dr. Jones who said, we included a visiting friend of mine in our baseball team. The problem was he worked as a professional baseballer in Korea.
It's always an issue. Comes out and starts throwing 90 mile an hour.
Wow, he's hitting him well.
Wow, geez, that was quick.
1353-53. Before we have a break and get to Brad Haddon, why don't we have a chat with Cookie from Mount Druitt. G'day, Cookie.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good, really well.
I'm just listening to you talking about whether or not we need 65 or a roof. I don't think Allianz should get anything up until a... People can't get out of there now and it only fits 40,000.
That's a very good point.
Until they fix the public transport system.
Very good
point. And until the Roosters can actually draw a crowd, because apart from the Roosters and the Waratahs, they can't even fill the joint now.
Cookie, you were going so good. Now Jimmy's just jumped off your ship.
No,
off,
no.
Off your train.
No, Cookie, I wish I could disagree with you. But you're exactly right. The access in and away, especially.
But the light rails, look, when we talk this money, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
No, we understand
like,
that.
It's like a five-year plan down the track.
Light rails 2019.
Yeah, so once that's in, then they're going to have to see how that goes. But look, your point's not incorrect, because it's hard to get in and out of that place.
Yes.
It's ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
And I'm from Western Sydney, and I avoid Allianz Stadium like the plague. I won't even go there for anything, let alone on a Friday night.
But yes. I'll ask you this one question, Cookie. When you do go out there, is it a better place to watch football?
Listen, I went out there last year when the Wanderers played against Sydney FC.
Yes.
Apart from the Uruguay-Australia game when they qualified, that's the best atmosphere at a sporting field I've ever been to.
Yep.
And Allianz is great to watch all sports at.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's too far for people to travel into.
I agree with.
And it defeats the purpose of... building something that can fit 60,000 if you can't get the 60,000 people in there.
Yeah, 100%.
The demand is out here in either the Parramatta Stadium and to a certain degree Penrith, but then again, these people can't fill their stadiums as it is, so until there's a demand for we need a bigger stadium, then I don't even think we should do anything. Fix the public transport around the joints so people can get in and out, and then, and then if there's a demand, build something bigger. But up until you can get in and out of the joint... Don't worry about it.
Cookie, your point is very valid, and because it is such a valid and good point, and very strong point, we're going to give you a hat.
Cap.
Hat.
Cap for Cookie.
Hat.
Cap for Cookie.
Cookie, stay on the line. Yeah. Tanya, Owen, we'll get a hold of him. Cookie's going to get a hat.
Yeah.
Captain Cook.
Yeah. And we're also going to try and install more light rail at Allianz Stadium too, based on
another
that.
Train.
Yeah, we're going to get another one. Now, this has come in from our mate Kiwi Jim. Stuart, it's an SMS. If you want to send an SMS...
Rather than spending it on him, get Kiwi Job some skills.
Yeah, let's upskill Kiwi Jim. 0419-767-272. 0419-SMS-BSB. I don't know whether he is getting money from the government, Kiwi Jim, but I suggested it at one occasion and he's run with it. The latest cricket debacle is on par with the underarm. Talk about Richie McCaw and the 80% win record as captain. Okay. The All Blacks won 34-16 over Wales. There, Jim, we've spoken about
Don't they always win?
Yes, they do. soaking up the benefits, Kiwi Jim. Yeah, good on you, Kiwi Jim. You're the reasons we don't have three stadium in Sydney, I reckon. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we'll have a chat with Brad Haddon.
G'day, Sean Cosgrove here. Back on Tuesday morning with Racing HQ, we'll have a look back at the Group 1 races from the West in Perth. We'll also try and find a winner for you throughout the week so you can get in and do that early Christmas shopping. And as well, my chin wag on Tuesday will be with a young jockey who decided to take a break from racing, and she did that on a cattle property in outback Western Australia. Catch you Tuesday.
Racing HQ, Tuesday to Fridays at 9, brought to you by TAB, on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. The latest on the traffic for Rizzy, Rail Industry Safety Induction.
Want to start working in the rail industry? First get your Rail Industry Safety Induction card. Go to rizzy.com.au and kickstart your career in rail.
Good morning, no accidents at the moment. We do have a breakdown though. It's at Granville, eastbound on the M4 just near James Roos Drive. And at Mascot, delays eastbound on Marsh Street from the M5 to the International Terminal, and expecting heavy traffic today around the beaches and also the shopping centres due to the hot weather. Beaumont Tiles is celebrating 100 outlets with a $100 gift card when you spend $500. Beaumont's where you'll find all your tile and bathroom wear needs in one place. It's too easy. I'm Leighton Archer. That's the traffic on Sky Sports Radio.
Hello.
Right, enough work. We're going to Mexican.
Your next great night could begin somewhere exotic.
Hey, keep this weekend free and pack to the beach.
Your next great weekend could begin with a surprise. Your next great drive? It begins with the Mazda 3 range. Full smartphone integration. The fuel economy of SkyActiv technology. Select models can even sense trouble and brake automatically. All new Mazda 3 hatch or sedan. The next great drive begins at your Mazda dealer or Mazda3.com.au.
Glenn Munsey here. My favourite course in Sydney is the Bankstown Golf Club at Milperra. I'm raising funds for Special Olympics, helping people with intellectual disabilities reach their personal best through sport. The AHEPA Golf Club's lending a hand too. I want you to organise a team of four for my charity golf day. Or you can sponsor a hole. Or shout your clients to 18 holes. And join me afterwards at the 19th hole. It's December 12th. Andy Pascalides has the details. Email andyp@specialolympics.com.au or call Andy P on 0467 764 598.
Get into harness and help celebrate 50 years of pacing at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
Gates open from 8 a.m. with full betting on the USA races. And the first local race just after 5.
Kids rides, free fairy floss, family activities and lots more at Fairfield Showgrounds today.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, the first test, a couple of weeks away. There's still one day to go, but more importantly, the test match is about to start. There's a couple of injuries floating around. Michael Clarke, Ryan Harris coming back, and also Brad Haddon, who hurt his shoulder in, I think it was Abu Dhabi, diving for a catch.
Yep.
Half volleyed it, claimed it, but not out. So. But more importantly than all of that, he could be the 45th captain, and he's on the line. Morning, Brad.
Morning, Safaz. Morning, Jimmy.
Now,
I only claim that if that was the Victorian Shield game. You know,
no cameras around.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right. Where's it at? How's the shoulder going?
It's responding well. I've had Patrick Farhart looking after me for the last 3 weeks. And he was pretty happy with the results yesterday. We had a dive, and basically the reason behind that was to see if it was going to stay in joint, and it did. So yeah, it's all moving in the right direction, which is good.
Definitely, excuse me, definitely playing the Shield game?
100% at this stage. I've got, I'm having a hit today, see how it responds there. And if that goes to plan, I'll practice with New South Wales as normal on Monday. Then let them try to get New South Wales a win in the Shield game, which we've got a pretty strong team there.
What's the hardest thing for you from the shoulder point of view? The diving with the keeping or the cross-bat shots with the batting?
I hope it's not the cross-bat shots. We're in some serious trouble if that's the case.
That's two-thirds of your shots there, Brad. If you...
I reckon it's more. The only thing that would be a concern is diving and popping it back out. But I'm not too fussed about that. I can do everything else, and if it comes out, it comes out. It's not something I can worry about, and I won't go into any of the games worrying about that. So, yeah, I'm actually not too concerned. Once I've gone through all this process and I've been past fit to play, I'm actually not too worried about anything, to be perfectly honest.
Well, that's good to hear. Michael's injured. He's got his hamstring injury, which we all know about, and we'll ask you some stuff about that shortly. But
isn't he playing grade next week?
Oh, we don't know. It could do. But, look, in saying all of that, you could become the 45th captain of Australia. Did you ever imagine that ever happening?
No, I didn't. I think I'm a pretty good vice captain where you can give the ideas and you don't have to have the accountability as much. So, yeah, it's not something I've really thought about. I've had to think about it a little bit over the last week, and it's obviously going to be exciting times if I get the opportunity. But yeah, I don't have a problem doing it with one game. I'm obviously not a long-term solution to the Australian captains to be Australian captain with the Adrian, but I'm happy to do it for a couple of games.
But you get one of those green jackets, and you get to sign every time there's an Australian captain's bat sold. You get to sign it.
Do I really?
Yeah.
Even if I only do one test?
Yeah. Mate, Watto signs it.
Is there any dollars in it? That's the next question.
I knew Peter's, you did it.
Don't worry, Peter's already got that all sorted. He's looking
You know what Smith did to me the other day? I was lying up in the coffee shop. He just happened to walk past. He just says, can I have one latte too, please, Dad?
That's not...
Unbelievable.
It's not true. It's not true. Yeah. I don't drink lattes.
And Jimmy... And cappuccino. The only thing true about it is Jimmy wouldn't have bought it. I know that. Now, more importantly, I don't know how this has happened, and I'm expecting your sledging to go through the roof this year, but you're training with Tom Carter, the former Waratah.
We've got a lot in common, actually. Now, I've been mates with Tom for years, and we're quite good friends. And I sat down with him at the end of the Ashes and things, and we sort of were talking. He said, "I reckon I can help you in prolong your career and just with the way we train. So I've been working with Tom for the last 12 months or so now, and he's probably, from a performance point of view, I've never trained with anyone that understands the body as well as Tom does. There's a lot of sledging and a lot of stuff that goes on, but I've come back with a few of my own. Every time I just mentioned Richie McCauley, curls up in a ball on the hill. So.
Are you going to tape your arm up with that big white tape that he used to have around his arm, just, you know, so when he made a tackle? He could never bend that arm. That's why he used to run past him that side of his shoulder. But
that's his right. He could never go to his right. In all seriousness, he's been probably, as I said, it's been a good experience. He understands training professional athletes as well as anyone I've ever spoke to. So with my age, it was good to get something different. I'm still using Christian with all my boxing and things, but that's been put on the back burner for the last 3 weeks because my right's as good as Jimmy's now. It's been wonderful, to be perfectly honest.
Brad, there's speculation in a Sunday Telegraph article today that you went very close to retiring. How close did you go?
No, I wasn't. I don't think I was ever going to retire. I think I've still got a lot of cricket in me. But I think after the emotional and mental drain of coming back and playing the way we did in the Ashes, and I think from where I'd come from to get back to that point in my career, I sort of just hit a wall. It wasn't physically or anything. It was more emotionally. I just needed to do nothing for a while. It took probably more out of me than what I thought to get back. And now I feel as good as ever. It's just that emotional drain of coming back and getting to where I got to.
Is there a finish line for you, Brad? We've got the Ashes next year, which is always a big target for everyone. Do you have a finish line to your career?
Oh, obviously, it's a lot closer these days than it was. I'm not putting a time frame on it. My body feels as good as it has. I don't really have any injury concerns, wear and tear, apart from my shoulder at the moment. But I'm enjoying being part of this Australian group. We've got a pretty big schedule with a World Cup and Ashes, and they're as big as carrots as you can get put in front of you from a cricketer's point of view. I'd like to be a part of that. And then after that, I think it would be probably fair enough to say it's pretty close to the end there. But I'm still enjoying being part of it all.
All right. There's a big game on today at the SCG. There's a lot of talk about the crowd being limited because of the heat and other concerns. But the question that's arising, Australia can be number one, I think, after this series if they win. How important is that to the Australian cricket team?
Yeah, I found lately there's been a lot of talk about a rankings to be number one, be the best team in all three forms of the game, which is obviously important to everyone, but I think it's more the brand of cricket we play. If we're doing everything we need to be the best cricket team we can and keep challenging ourselves, I think they're just byproducts of doing the right things day in and day out. I know it's nice at the end of the year to be number one in all three forms of the game, but I think more importantly, you need to be constantly moving your cricket forward and improving as a team, and all that stuff will happen, and it's nice to sit down and talk to about after the end of a game or an end of a series, but it's not something I look too much at. I'm probably not meant to say that, but that's just my feeling on it.
We play India in the Test series. There's been a lot of talk about everything but India in many ways. Is that a danger from an Australian cricket team point of view? I know you've been out of it for a little while, Brad, with the injury, but is there very much a focus on what actually the team has to do from Darren Leem and the coaching staff leading into this Test series?
Yeah, the coaching staff are always planning. I think our fast bowlers just all got pulled out of the guys that are going to play the Test match have been pulled out of the Shield games, except Rhino, who needs some more bowling. So they're always planning. I reckon this summer has been a funny one. I haven't really enjoyed the start of the summer. I like the first game of the summer being that first Test match in Brisbane, and that sort of kicks your summer. It's sort of been a different start of the summer with 2020s and one day. So, yeah, from my point of view, I'm just looking forward to getting into the Test matches, and that's when I feel like the Australian summer starts.
Final question from me, Brad. Will Terry Campese be turning out in the Canberra Raiders jersey next year?
I can't hear you, Jim.
Contractually, we have to ask you one Raiders question, so that was it.
I think I've said to you, start judging the Raiders in the next couple of years, Jim. You've gone from Roosters to South. You can't talk to me about the Raiders.
Oh, don't worry, he'll go back to the Roosters when they start winning again. He wishy-washy old Jim.
That's not right. Look, hopefully you get named in that squad of 34 for the first Test match. The marketing squad that's coming up. No, in all seriousness, we hope you get through this Shield game, no problem. Into the Australian side, of course, there's no doubt of that. If things go your way and Michael Clarke doesn't play, you will become the 45th Test captain of Australia, which is an incredible effort. And if that's the case, you'll be signing bats for the rest of your life, and there's a little cut in it for you. So good luck with that.
No, thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Starfrace. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks there, Brad. Appreciate that. It was Brad Haddon, Australian vice-captain, and looking forward to, I reckon, playing that first Test. I think he'll be fine. Brad's usually a pretty good judge of his body.
Yep.
I'd imagine if he says he's right to go, then he's right to go.
And the other thing is, it's going to be an enormous responsibility on him if Michael Clarke cannot play. And we're probably at the point of saying where he's not going to play, right?
I don't think so. I think Michael Clarke...
You think he will play?
Even if he doesn't bat next week, I think Michael will... They'll let Michael play.
Go into a Test match without any cricket
I think they will.
And knowing that Alex Contreras during the week said, well, it could go at any point.
Yep.
He could have 6 months off and his hamstring could go at any point.
I think they will. On that basis, that there doesn't appear to be a cure for what's going on with Michael Clarke, so why not play him?
You either never pick him or pick him now.
What's the difference?
Why wait around a month to see if it's...
Well, that's right. If they can't fix it, which apparently they can't,
yep,
then he just plays all the time.
All right, give us your 11.
My 11. Okay. Warner, he's batting. He's at the top.
Tough one.
I've gone with Philip Hughes. I've left Chris Rogers out.
Right.
Watson at 3. Clark at 4. Smith at 5. I'm picking Clark.
Okay.
Mitchell Marsh, 6. Haddon, 7. Johnson, Ryan Harris, Nathan Lyon, and Josh Hazlewood.
Okay, Hazlewood in, Siddle out. Okay.
Siddle'll be in the 18-man squad.
Yeah.
He's on tour.
Yeah.
But Josh Hazlewood's bowling that well from what I'm seeing on TV.
Yeah.
Why not pick him? The Indians are not going to like it, I know that.
Good point. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take your thoughts on that. Before we get to those calls, time to get some update on some markets. Of course, we've got the Australian Masters Golf. We've got the big cricket game out at the SCG. Glenn Munsey is on the line to give us all those prices. G'day, Munz.
Morning, Jimmy. Welcome back, Stewie. How was the brief?
Oh, look.
Holiday, you know, 3 weeks away somewhere.
As I said, as you do, Glenn, I just give my guts every week for this show. And occasionally you need a little bit of time to recuperate.
Yes, well, if you've got, you know, guts as big as mine, you can give a little bit more.
And mine are growing. Don't worry about that.
Oh, well, good to see you doing zero.
What's going on? Cricket today. Plenty happening at the SCG.
Yeah, and evidently plenty of corporate functions that ex-players will be touring the ground there today at the Sydney Cricket Ground, giving their guts for other organisations apart from this radio station.
Doesn't matter.
Is that right? Stuart, what are you doing this afternoon?
As long as there's an urn in it for you, Glenn. I might be doing some schmoozing and maybe a bit of commentary.
Is the sun out?
mate, I've got a mentor in Jim. You just work wherever you want, mate.
Yes, I'll tell you what. And you're doing it in fine style, Stewie. Good to see you both complimenting each other with the craft that you portray outside the radio studio there. But this afternoon at the Sydney Cricket Ground, Game 5 of the one-day series that Australia currently leads 3-1. They are $1.50. to defeat South Africa this afternoon in the match, in South Africa at $2.60. Looking at some of the betting options there, the high bat for Australia, Aaron Finch and Dave Warner, equal favourites to be the most run scorers for the Aussies this afternoon at $4 each of two. Steve Smith and Shane Watson at 5, George Bailey at 6, The Big Show, Glenn Maxwell at 9, Matt Wade at 15, James Faulkner at 17. And I heard a from you, Jimmy. You were attracted by any of those prices? You were very, very early there, Aaron Finch and Dave Warner.
Dave Warner, $4.50.
What is the Big Show's the one? He's been very disappointing this series. He hasn't fired a shot in anger this show.
No.
Well, he'll have to, put in a little bit better effort this afternoon. What about most wickets for the Aussies? Pat Cummins and Mitchell Starc, equal picks at $3.50. James Faulkner, $4.50. Xavier Doherty and Kane Richardson at 5. Shane Watson at 8. The Big Show's there again. Glenn Maxwell at 9. And Steve Smith at 11. Anything get you going there, boys?
Mitch Starc.
Oh, whoever bowls at the end. Pat Cummins, Mitch Starc. They'll bowl the last couple of those. So right. Everyone gets two or three wickets at the end. They're slogging them up in the air. So go with someone that bowls at the end.
Okay, so that is this afternoon. And, of course, we've been speaking to Brad Haddon about the test series, Australia and India, looking at the first test market.
Mm.
The first test to start on Thursday, the 4th of December, up there at the Gabba. Australia $1.57 to win the test. The draw at $4.50. India at $4.50 as well. And looking at the series, Australia $1.25. to win the series against India. Other sports happening around the country and around the world today. NBL at 2 o'clock. Melbourne take on Perth. Perth slight favourites there. Melbourne get 1.5 start. Then at 8:30 tonight, Townsville takes on the Wollongong Hawks in Townsville. Townsville there 128, Wollongong 375. 6.5 the line in that one. A-League this afternoon at 5 o'clock. The Central Coast Mariners and Adelaide doing battle there. The Central Coast Mariners $3, the draw $3.40. Adelaide at 2:25, and players are on the course for the last round of the Australian Masters. Paul Spargo is the leader there at -8. He tees off with Michael Wright at 1:15 this afternoon. Michael Wright is second on the leaderboard at -7. Lucas Herbert and Nick Cullen are equal next picks at -6, along with James Nitties. Jeff Ogilvie and Adam Scott are equal favourites to win the tournament. Jeff Ogilvie's at -5. And Adam Scott is at -4, so they've got a lot to do in the final round. You'll see all of that. And boys, at midday today, we have a special presentation on Sky Racing 1, Channel 519, on your Foxtel unit. There it is, the barrier draw for the Miracle Mile. Suave Stewie Lombo.
Whoa.
He told me that not-so-suave Stewie Skinny has adopted him as his new harness horse.
He's my favourite horse, harness horse.
He burst into calculations for the Miracle Mile, of course, winning the Cordina Sprint for Lauren Pennella last night. I think he ran 1:52. It was still the middle of the day when I was in Perth when he ran last night. But the barrier draw for the Miracle Mile will be conducted in a special presentation, as I said, from 12 o'clock this afternoon on Sky Racing Channel 519, live from Tabcorp Park in Menangle. Just got to duck in, do the hair, iron another shirt, and get out there, boys, and I'll see you on Sky.
Won't take long. Good on you, Glenn. Glenn Munsey there from tab.com.au. Time now for a sports update with Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
Australia failed to bounce back from last weekend's rugby loss to France, going down to Ireland this morning, 26-23 in Dublin. The Wallabies bravely fought back from 17-0 down to level, but were edged out in a tense second half, a penalty goal the difference. In other games this morning, Scotland 37, beat Tonga 12, South Africa 22, Italy 6, New Zealand 34, Wales 16, England 28, Samoa 9, and Argentina 18, beat France 13. A big night for Mark Janko, scoring both of Sydney's goals in last night's A-League game over win over Melbourne City. The Sky Blues won 2-1 away at Amy Park, while at Western Sydney's home game, the Wanderers unable to register a win. Newcastle and the Wanderers drew 1-1, leaving both teams without a win this season. Also, Perth 2 beat Wellington 1. And as Glenn said, today's match is Central Coast v Adelaide. Play underway in the final round of the Australian Masters at the Metropolitan Course in Melbourne, with Paul Spargo topping the leaderboard at 8-under. One shot back is Michael Wright. A group of three and a tie for third are at 6-under. Jeff Ogilvie sits at -5 and Adam Scott -4. Group 1 racing last night in Perth, and Magnificio won the Winter Bottom, while Elite Bell took out the Railway Stakes. So no luck for any of the New South Wales or Victorian horses at Tabcorp Park Menangle, with a spot in next Saturday night's Miracle Mile up for grabs. Suave Stewie Lombo won the Cordina Chicken Sprint. Nico Rosberg has pole for the season-ending Abu Dhabi Grand Prix tonight. A win for Rosberg and a third placing or worse for Lewis Hamilton will see him win the Drivers' Championship, but if Hamilton finishes first or second, he will take the title. Winners in EPL matches overnight: Chelsea, Everton, Man City, Newcastle, Burnley and Man United, while Leicester and Sunderland had a nil-all draw. We lost in the rugby this morning, but Australia beat Ireland in the Australian Rules International match last night in Perth. The usual two-match series was shortened to one this year. The winning margin was 10 points. And in cricket, Australia versus South Africa in the fifth one-day international today at the SCG. The Aussies have already won the series. And just lastly, Switzerland lead France 2-1 in the final of the Davis Cup after Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka won last night's doubles over Julien Benneteau and Richard Gasquet in three sets. In front of record crowds in Lille, the Swiss are looking for an historic first ever Davis Cup trophy. So there were plenty of fist pumping and high-fiving in that doubles match, so it looks like Roger and Stan are friends again.
There was an embrace at one point.
Really?
Yeah, and Stan had Stan the Man T-shirt on before. How cool was that? Jim Stein's medal, excuse me, from this international rules game. Luke Hodge. Hodgie won it.
He didn't even win the Norm Smith medal too.
He did.
Who won in Stan v. Merker?
I'm not sure if Merker was in the crowd.
She didn't turn up.
I was looking around for her. Who did
the coughing while he was serving?
I'm not sure.
He was playing with Roger this time, so Merker wouldn't have been.
She didn't like him. Give him a make Roger look better.
She's great, isn't she? But that Friday, the singles matches broke the record for Davis Cup matches, all time record, 27,432.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crowd.
Yeah.
Roger is playing.
I thought
it was the world record.
Do you want to have some water?
No, I thought that at White City during the 50s and 60s, they used to fill that out with massive crowds for Davis Cup.
The crowd before that match on Friday night, the record crowd was in Spain.
Right.
But, yeah, 50 years ago at Rushcutters Bay at White City, it was a bigger crowd.
Might be in the open era.
So you've got to
use the phrase open era.
Open era.
So 5 minutes ago, Jimmy.
There was no Twitter in the open era, by the way.
Apparently Rod Laver, massive on Twitter back in the day. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll come back. We're going to have a chat with Wanderers defender Nikolai Topper-Stanley.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Stu is a must for sports nuts like us. But if you missed any of today's program, log on to skysportsradio.com.au, go to radio and click on podcast to catch up with all your weekend sporting news.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah, and the brand new showroom in Broadmeadow Road, Broadmeadow.
Hi punters, James Cummings here, home of racing.com.au, powered by the New South Wales Trainers Association, is the place to go for your carnival news. Straight from the horse trainer's mouth.
Reports from respected journalist Craig Young, spring carnival updates, breeding news and Asian racing makes this website a must.
This carnival, check out homeofracing.com.au and stay ahead of the game.
Homeofracing.com.au.
Garth Brooks returns with his amazing new album, Man Against Machine. Featuring the new track, People Loving People. Get into Sanity and get your copy now.
Today is Grafton's big Christmas race meeting. There's something for everyone with free kids entertainment and rides, live music on the West Lawn, a visit from Santa, plus 7 top quality races. Meeting supported by the Clock Tower Hotel, the Grafton Hotel, Brawny Protective Services, Celebrating Abilities, and the Brian and Veronica Spencer Memorial Race. Grafton's racing today. It's fun you can bet on.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Well, they got 2 points during the course of this week. A draw on Wednesday and a draw last night. So it's not exactly the start to the A-League season that the Western Sydney Wanderers wanted, but they are, of course, the champions of Asia, which is a remarkable achievement. And it's great to have one of their key defenders, a key player, in fact, Nikolai Topper-Stanley, on the program. G'day, Nikolai.
How you going?
Yeah, really well. We've talked a lot about the tough start to the season that you guys have had. Do you still have the belief within the squad that you can make an impact in this A-League season?
Yeah, definitely. The mentality hasn't changed throughout, and I don't think it will. Obviously, the start is not what we imagined it would be. But this happens in football. You know, one week you can be on top of the world, and the next down in the dumps. But we've got to stick together, and we've got a solid bunch of boys here, and that's not going to change soon.
Nikolai, because of the travel and the success and everything that's gone into the Champions League, has it been probably harder than you expected it to be, or Tony Popovich expected it to be?
It was definitely a challenge, you know, you're travelling week in, week out and, you know, adjusting to time frames, but that's no excuse. And we knew that from the beginning, that that's the challenge we faced. So we're, you know, as a group, where there's no one, you know, pointing to that as a reason. You know, we know that we are responsible and we have to overcome that.
Mm. I want to take you back to the second leg against Al Hilal in really tough conditions because of the crowd, because of the climatic conditions. Is it a surreal feeling when you think back about that and to understand what the Wanderers achieved at that point, Nikolai?
Yeah, definitely. It was huge. The atmosphere in the ground is something that I've never experienced before. It was actually deafening. But it was, to serve to energise us and, on the night was my prettiest performance, but we got the job done. So, you know, I'm incredibly proud of to be part of this group and, to create some history for Australian football.
Is that your greatest achievement in your career?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It will be. And, as I said, I'm very proud just to be involved with the club and, to have led those boys out to a victory was something special.
What about the celebration in that part of the world after you won? As a team, you would have celebrated, but it would have been... having travelled to that part of the world for cricket, it's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, to say the least. We went back to the Aussie embassy and for an hour or so, and then I was back to the hotel not too long after.
Mm.
So, yeah, celebrations were on hold for a bit.
All right, let's come back to the A-League. And next week is going to be a huge game out at Pertex Stadium. It's the derby against Sydney FC. Now, Mark Yanko is coming to Sydney FC, and he's been spectacular. 2 goals last night. Will you be marking him, Nikolai? And what sort of challenges does he represent?
Yeah, well, obviously it's a direct matchup, being a striker and a defender. But we can't afford to focus too much on one player or one player's strengths. You know, it's also about what we do, and we got to look to impose our game on them, especially being at home. He's obviously a handful. He's a big boy, and he's dangerous. So, you know, we'll definitely be wary of him. But at the same token, you can't apply too much of your focus on him.
What about the Socceroos? They lost to Japan during the week. They played a good brand of football, I thought, watching the game, but unfortunately didn't get the win. I'd imagine you're there or thereabouts. You'd be looking forward to maybe the Asian Cup, potentially?
Yeah. I was on the bench of that game, and I thought the boys played outstanding in the first half. But unfortunately, Japan stepped it up a gear, and we really couldn't live with them second half, and we gave away two cheap goals, I think. But they're the benchmark of Asia, with the crowd behind them, the second half they showed why they're a force to be reckoned with. But the Asian Cup, it'll be a different story. It'll be on our home soil. And hopefully we can continue to build on those performances.
It certainly will be. It'll be in Australia, so the added advantage will be with us. Importantly, Tim Cahill only played 20-30 minutes at the end of the match, but he did score a goal. How important is Tim Cahill to Australian football, and do we need to keep him around?
Look, he's a handful on up front. He's very dangerous. He always looks likely. His timing into the box is right up there. That's why he gets on the end of things so much. I think it's very important to keep him around, but at the same token, we have to look forward to future generations, which I think the coach is doing. He has to blood young talent to get that international experience.
You still get blown away by the level of support the Western Sydney Wanderers get each and every home game, away games as well, Nikolai. It must be great for the players, knowing that they've got a game, a big game at home, and they know they'll get a massive crowd, and they know that it's going to make a heap of noise.
Yeah, it's definitely uplifting, and I've always said that our fans are right up there with the best in Australia, and they're definitely a part of us, and we definitely feel them when we go to take the field. So to play in front of them is always great.
It's going to be massive next week. It's Saturday night out of Pertec Stadium, 7:30 kickoff, Wanderers versus Sydney FC. Nikolai, you'll be in the heat of the action. We wish you all the best with that and really appreciate you joining us on a Sunday morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Nikolai Topper-Stanley there. He's a guy who's probably going to go, probably make that squad for the Asian Cup. And if that's the case, then who knows from there. He's created a bit of history already with the Wanderers. They might even go and create some more over in Morocco that Andy Pascalidis
is taking on
about.
Real Madrid.
Wouldn't that be something?
Knock off Morocco or whoever they're playing over there. And then, where's he going? The Bernabeu? Is that where they're playing? Is that where it'll be at?
No, it's all in the one area. Oh. They all played in the one area.
Imagine you've got to play at the
Bernabeu. Yeah, I know. Well, again, Mark Yanko gave up the opportunity to play Brazil. You'd tell your grandkids about the day you played Brazil.
Has he already played Brazil, though? Maybe he'd already done that.
No, he hadn't. No, he'd never played them before. Yeah, I was reading the article about it. He'd never played them. He was suggesting that it was a friendly, so it didn't really count. But still.
But playing against Brazil is playing against Brazil. Friendly, no friendly. But what about the mouth-watering clash, Yanko v. Topper Stanley?
Yeah.
You mentioned it to him there, and he sounded excited. I imagine Mark Yanko, he's excited as well.
Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? You want to see, and this is the challenge that the A-League have, is that you're watching English Premier League football, and it's a great standard of football. Mm. The challenge was always to get the A-League, improve the standard, and guys like those two you mentioned, very much the stars of the A-League, and they're playing a good brand of footy. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to speak to our man. Speaking of high quality.
Great
world-renowned
selling cars.
Role models from C. Foster & Sons Quality Cars, Scotty Foster. G'day, Scotty.
G'day, boys. I tell you what, the introductions get better and better. I'm loving it.
Oh, mate. Ever since you changed your ways a couple of years back, we just can't say anything but good things about you.
Thanks, Stewie. Appreciate that, mate.
What's the latest? Can you give us a baby update?
2 weeks ago, mate, went for a walk this morning just to...
You did or your wife did?
No, we both did.
How are you preparing, Scotty?
Mate, it's a bit of a hit and miss for me, so I'm just taking things as they come.
Fantastic. Righto, get stuck into this 2005 VZ Holden Crewman Automatic Dual Cab Ute.
Yeah, it's a great family work vehicle, Jimmy. This one has the ladder racks and tow pack as well as the nice comfort options inside, like the air conditioning, power steering, ABS brakes, dual airbags, cruise control, traction control. It's got power windows, Bluetooth, window tint and 16-inch alloy wheels. This one comes with the logbooks and service history, and it's unbelievable value. It's only $7,990 drive away today. So it's on the website, www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au, or call now on 9637 5024 and book a test drive today on that great vehicle.
That's Foster's Quality Cars. Now, the second car is a 2009 Ford Focus automatic five-door hatch, perfect for partner, children, or even Jimmy. Jimmy likes a little car, and it's a bit of a girly car too. So tell us a little bit about that one.
It's a perfect little latte parking Bondi.
Oh, righto.
It's a little automatic Focus. It comes standard with air conditioning, power steering, ABS brakes, electronic brake force distribution. It's got dual airbags, power windows, fog lights and remote central locking. They're very safe, economical and reliable. They also look very smart and they're easy to drive. So any parent out there can make themselves look good for Christmas. They can take this little gem for a test drive. They won't be disappointed. A great car and a great price at just $8,990, and that's drive away today as well.
Fosterscqualitycars.com.au is the website. Give the guys a call, 9637 5024, or head out to the lot and actually see them for yourself. 93 Parramatta Road at Granville. Now, clearly you're not working today, Scotty. You never do. What's on for you?
Mate, 43 degrees. It's hard to get away from the beach. So
right.
I'll be down there today.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, make sure you're hydrated, Scott.
Yeah,
and good luck to your old man who has to work. He has to do the hard yards out there at
Granville.
So good luck to Big Steve.
Yeah,
wish him all the best for me, Scotty.
He's a Trojan.
Good on you, Scotty.
See you, boys.
Speak next week, Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Check them out. There are a couple of great cars there. Fostersqualitycars.com.au. Now, Mervyn Purvis, who listens to the program all the time, hasn't contacted us for a little while, but we're talking about the Sydney Grade cricket scandal, brouhaha, whatever you want to call it.
Fracas.
My entire cricket team feigned madness one day to delay the start of a match.
Did they feign it or was it reality?
I was going to say, Mervyn, I'm not sure you were feigning. And Owen, producer Owen, was talking about a time when Mitch Brennan, the former South Sydney player, Queenslander, Played a few Origin games. Played for the Rabbitohs, the Dragons. He played in a trial game under a different name because Harry Bath wanted to give him a trial game. And he played under the pseudonym Mickey Lane. So that's another one that...
I didn't know about that.
Producer Owen. I didn't know about that one either, but Producer Owen, a little more senior than you and I.
Been around for a bit, hasn't he?
Been around forever, hasn't he?
Around the
Producer
traps.
Owen, yeah. So he brought that one up. So thank you, Producer Owen. We do appreciate that. And this one came in as well. Cookie from Mount Druitt, who won our cap.
Won a cap. We don't have just one to give away.
Well, we don't have a heap, but we've given away two today, so we've reached our limit.
You've given away two. I've only given away one.
Hang on. You gave one to Cookie. You agreed.
Yeah, that's
you
one.
Were complicit in that,
yeah,
and
one.
I gave the other one away during the course of the racing program.
Yeah, so I didn't give away two.
Yeah. We, as a collective, gave away two caps. Anyway, Cookie from Mount Druitt is having a far better weekend than Cookie from West Cricket Club.
Cookie from West Cricket Club, his phone's never been that busy. It's just going off.
Yeah, that's Jeff Cook, the captain of the Western
Suburbs. He's a mate
of yours, isn't he? Yeah, yeah. I played with him a long time ago. And I can't believe he's 43 years of age. He's still playing Sydney Great cricket and scoring runs, too.
He could make a comeback.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Now, this one came in. We'd love to know the number of people that they're going to get at this game today. At the SCG. I think the one-day crowd issue is a combination of tip-and-run cricket cannibalising it, ticket and related prices, and some sections of the media constantly talking about the demise of one-day cricket. If you talk something for so long, people will listen. That's from The Rogue. Well, that's you. You started the program saying one-day cricket's dead.
I'm not sure you can blame the media for no one turning up to the cricket. I'm sorry. I'm only commenting on what I'm watching.
No, but it's
not like I'm sitting there going, oh, let's just knock off one-day cricket here. I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing crowds diminish.
Yes.
And I'm making comment on it.
But there's nearly a million people watching across five metro cities.
The Channel 9 are happy. They're over the moon.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They hope no one goes, as long as they watch on TV.
But the problem is, it doesn't look very good.
Doesn't look good.
I mean, it looks horrible. That game on Friday night in a massive stadium like the MCG, it looked empty.
So are we talking one-day cricket will be played at Blacktown?
No. No, they'll never do
Canberra?
That. Canberra?
More game. That was a good atmosphere.
Excellent atmosphere. The Canberrans appreciated international cricket. They're going to get a game, of course, during the World Cup.
What about when you play in Dubai and place like that? There was no one in Dubai.
No, there was a couple of hundred. I was looking at the crowd in Dubai and you're going, oh, I recognise that person. That's so-and-so.
He's been there before.
Yeah. You know, that's how crazy that was. But we understand TV licences and so forth, but that's where the realities of what sporting bodies is confronting them.
How do you get people to go to the game?
The other thing is, look at what some codes can do. When you've got a brand like the All Blacks, you go to Soldier Field in Chicago, and there's 61,000 Americans turn out for it. I thought that was incredible. Coming up after 10 o'clock, the National Racing Service with Simon Harrison. John Scorse will preview Goulburn. Now, there's been a few scratchings at Goulburn.
Too hot?
No. Well, I don't know. Scorpio Queen for Chris Lees has been scratched from the Goulburn Cup, and Ray Thomas is reporting on Twitter, Pythagorean now $1.50 favourite, we believe, for that one. So just to let you know, that is the case at Goulburn. And also, Ray informed me a little bit earlier that Jason Collett, we were talking about the injury he sustained after the first race, the incident at the barrier, he's not riding at Goulburn today because of those injuries. So let's hope Jason is okay, gets back on the horse very quickly. Now, John Scorse will preview Goulburn after 10 o'clock. It's their cup day. Gary Cleese will look at Grafton. Dean Lester's going to have a look at the Victorian meetings. And Andrew Benchley will have all the latest racing news. Plus, we'll have all the latest on the Miracle Mile barrier draw of you like Suave, Stewie Lombo.
Yeah, I'd suggest if I was going to put some money on that race,
yeah,
I'd put it on that horse.
Now, I, a little bit earlier, suggested that David Warner was my pick at $4.50 to be top scorer for Australia in the ODI. Do you have any thoughts on that, Stuart?
I do, Jim. I do have some thoughts on it. Would you like me to share them?
yes.
This is the way you should bet on cricket.
Right.
You should have two bets. Don't just go all out on one person. Have someone at the top of the order,
right,
one or two,
yep,
and have someone at six or seven,
okay,
batting at five, six or seven.
Okay, all right.
Three or four in the middle, if I was going to bet, I don't like those middle order players there because they either come in when it's doing plenty and they nick them.
Right.
Or they come in right at the end, they don't get enough because the guys one, two and three have got the runs.
So you want openers or finishers?
Yeah.
So you're looking at Aaron Finch and David Warner at $4.
Yep. or those who's batting at 6 and 7?
Mitch Marsh, is he? Glenn Maxwell, sorry. Glenn Maxwell, $9. George Bailey, $6.
Yeah. If I was betting on cricket, I wouldn't bet too often on 3, 4 and 5 at the moment. In fact, when Ricky Ponty was playing, it was a bit different. You know, Damien Martin, Mark Waugh. Well, Mark Waugh batted at the top at the end.
Yeah.
But those sort of guys. But at the moment, the Australian cricket team, without Michael Clarke in there either, that's the way I'd be looking at it.
All right, South Africa, $4 favourites. Hashim Amla and AB de Villiers.
Well, I don't think AB de Villiers is going to play because I don't think he hurt his ribs. He got hit in Canberra and then he dived on the ball. Right. I'd be surprised if he played because it's a nothing game. And they beat him right.
And the crowd might respond accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd be surprised if AB de Villiers plays. I'd go with David Miller.
Okay, David Miller. Oh, I've just gone off the price there.
I'm getting
the golf up. Anyway, David Miller is your pick. Now, speaking of the golf, we know you love your golf. It was an absolute thrill this morning to speak to Ian Baker
Finch. IBF.
That broadcast starts from 12:30 on Channel 7 for the Australian Masters, the final round. And just on that leaderboard, we've got Paul Spargo, who is currently leading, and he leads by one shot from Michael Wright. But there's some good players, including Jeff Ogilvy and Adam Scott, who are 4 shots and 5 shots away, respectively. Now, Stuart, putting you on the spot. You love your golf.
Yes.
You claim that Ian Baker Finch had your dream job.
He's one of my mates now, OBF.
We're mates. Commentating. Adam Scott, the $5 favourite. Jeff Ogilvy at $6. Paul Spargo at $7. Who do you like?
Ogilvy or Aaron Price?
Aaron Price. Okay. Aaron Price is a $41 chance.
Only because I know who Aaron Price is. Right. He plays at Cronulla occasionally.
Sharks fan.
He plays at Cronulla.
Well, he's a massive Sharks fan. Yeah.
Definitely put your money on Aaron for him to run second or third.
Reason to back Aaron Price. He's a Sharks fan.
Mate.
So how's he striking the ball? He's a Sharks fan.
You're horrible.
I like Jeff Ogilvy on his home
course.
Do you?
I've got Ogilvy or Price. Yeah, you've got to have a couple. Like, have just a bit of variety.
All right. Brett Rumford. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've heard us on radio.